much about. You gotta put it in
perspective. This is exciting.
I gotta be honest with you. Right out of the gate, I'm not enjoying myself at all.
It's not a good way to start.
Look, let's just bang this sucker out. We'll be done with it and we go on with our lives.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'll show you some material, you'll know.
Oh, God.
Do it well.
Oh, yeah.
No.
G-g-ga.
Dusty cowtown.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's great.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-hmm.
So good.
Just as hard.
Smell it.
It was terrific.
Yes.
All right, clean it out of here.
Lady Gaga!
Get a day job.
Come on, Allie. Either spit it out or don't.
Where can people go to get information and be, you know, turn the ignorance around?
And now.
Wow, you need a road map for that one.
Our feature presentation.
That's a disturbing piece of tape right there.
I mean.
With Allie and Jerry Lewis.
Is there a video of that sex tape also, Allie? Or just,
of course. You just think I'm just audio. Doing audio? I want to relive that dusty cowtown.
Clean it up. Get it out of here.
So gross.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, the 28th of June.
All right. Besides hanging and besides banging.
Wait, let me start.
What have you guys been
up to? Hey, guys. What have you guys been up to?
Banging.
Bean?
Hanging.
Okay.
But besides hanging and banging,
right.
I'm trying to get a look inside your lives.
Right.
When you leave here every morning after the show, and then we don't see or hear from you again until the next day, what goes on, particularly in your life, Kevin? What goes on? I'm fascinated. I want a Kevin cam. I want to know how Kevin...
Yeah, what? You can say gangsta, but what came after it is,
right.
is a bad
word. That's bad
on
now.
The radio. Yeah, well, for a while. Ever.
That's ridiculous.
Agreed.
Do you do fun, exciting stuff we don't know about, or do you just go home and just sleep?
I don't just go home and sleep.
Okay.
It's an odd question.
You go to Taco Bell. We know that.
I go to Taco Bell first, yes.
How
every
many
day.
Days in a row?
It's been 6 now.
Okay.
6 days in a row you yeah. go to Taco Bell on your way. Now, by the way, Kevin has breakfast here on the show, mm-hmm. usually around 8 a.m.
Yeah.
So by 10:30, he's so peckish. He needs Taco
right?
Bell.
I need sustenance.
Okay.
And, right. But I found myself the last 2 times going, do I want anything else? Because this is starting to worry me.
Is it the same thing you're ordering every time?
No. All Change right. it up. Chip.
Right. Yeah.
Change it up. I'm a crazy man.
Sure.
Look, okay. man loves his nuggets.
Right?
At Taco Bell?
At Taco Bell, but no, but...
I'm just saying, you're obsessed with a food and mm-hmm. you just can't get enough of it.
Then
right?
I go to Caltech for my day job.
Okay. And what are you doing at Caltech?
Advanced research on earthquake cracks in the earth.
Mm. Oh, earthquake cracks in the earth. Okay.
Yes. That's what I'm right.
So it sounds like you're very good at that.
Thank you.
You only remembered Caltech was earthquakes because
yep, that's it.
Watching
that's
the news after an earthquake.
Uh-huh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Of course.
All right.
It's well, science.
All right.
It's a pretty yeah. full use of your
Look,
your
you
time,
do a lot right? of things during the day, but mm-hmm. they're not necessarily – entertaining for anyone else to hear about.
Mine wasn't mm-hmm. yesterday.
What did you do yesterday, Allie?
Oh, I got my nails done, my toes done, my legs waxed, my hoo-ha.
Wow.
Oh,
no?
Same.
Ready
I got
to
all
go.
That done, too, but
yeah.
I forgot to tell you that.
Yeah.
So you are so fresh, so clean right now.
Thank you for noticing.
Somebody's got some dates lined up for vacation.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah.
How about you, Bean? What did you do yesterday?
Nothing. I just watched TV.
Okay, listen, that doesn't help us.
I did watch the W. Kamau Bell special, which is new on Netflix, which is amazing, which is so funny. It's real, real good. Netflix is just the best for comedy. And, you know,
Absolutely.
I know we have Jim Jefferies coming in. He's got a new Netflix special getting ready to drop as well. And it used to be you'd have to kind of keep track of when everything was on, if it was going to be on HBO, if it's going to be on Comedy Central, and when it aired and stuff. And now you just go to Netflix and you just have just a plethora of great comedy specials to choose from. It's just so wonderful.
It is great.
Isn't that funny? When you said you would just see where they were on, I immediately thought Netflix, HBO, Showtime.
In that order?
I didn't think of Comedy Central.
Oh, you didn't even
Central.
Think of Comedy Central.
And
That's
that used to be the only place you saw
the
them, right?
The only place.
Wow. Yeah, it's the golden age of comedy on Netflix, that's for sure. All right, so that's all of our exciting days. Now let me tell you about this. Just a quick update. Yesterday, near the end of the show, in the final What's Happening, Ali, you brought us word about that incident on the southbound 110 freeway?
Yes.
This was a guy who was just wearing boxer shorts, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. No shirt, no shoes, just boxer shorts. And he was standing up on a sign there, and he started unfurling banners. And there was some confusion yesterday at the end of rush hour as to what the hell he was doing up there. Obviously, our first concern is that he was suicidal. See a guy climb up onto a freeway sign, you're worried that he's going to jump.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, on top of that, you go, oh, is this guy mentally ill? What is the, how are the police going to get him down? How are they going to talk some sense into him? Don't hurt himself or others. And then he started unveiling signs up there that were anti-pollution signs, right?
Right.
That was what his deal was. We thought, well, maybe he's just trying to, you know, just trying to make a statement here. He's just fed up with the environment. So that's what's going on. Well, it turned out it was none of those things.
Okay.
He's perfectly healthy.
Good.
And although he has an interest in the environment, that's not why he did the stunt.
Mm-hmm.
He did the stunt because he was shooting a rap video.
No.
What?
So everything we wanted to do to him yesterday, Allie, now we want to do to him for the rest of his life, right?
Oh, my God.
That he would put thousands of people in a backup just so he could shoot a rap video. He's a 29-year-old. His name is Alexander Dunn. He got booked on all kinds of charges, including delaying a police officer, trespassing on state property, failure to obey a regulatory sign, and others. And he had his producer there recording for a rap video where he is going to be using some footage from that into his song. Now, he was actually doing some rapping up there. He was also doing some vaping up there.
Sure.
So
you take a break every once in a while and vape and then come back.
We hate everything about this guy, don't we?
He's the worst.
He's the worst.
How did they finally get him down? I saw they had a big
they talked him into it after over 2 hours up there, and he was not going to go quietly. He wanted to go with flair, so he ended up doing a backflip into what looks like the LAPD, you know, bouncy house, essentially, is what they have out there, is to break his fall. They put it up there because they were afraid he was going to jump.
Right.
And then eventually he did, but he had to do it with flair. So he did a backflip into it.
So here's my thing. Two hours.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's going to be safe if he falls now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Trank dart within 15 minutes.
For sure.
No 2 hours.
For sure.
Look, come down and we're going to trank. He just goes down.
And if that doesn't work, the longer he's up there, the more air you're taking out. Like, let us know. Let us know. And then after some time, if he doesn't come down, you pack everything up and you head home. You let traffic commence. He's stuck. F him. Oh, I'm so mad.
I don't think they do that last one just because he could hurt somebody driving by if he were to fall or jump. You know what I mean? You could kill an innocent bystander, I guess is what I'm saying.
So
I
mean, a trank dart is what we're going with.
I think the trank dart with the
padding at the bottom.
Padding, yeah, absolutely. Okay. And Allie's got a great idea. Is you lower it and lower it and lower it until he jumps. Yeah.
By the way,
just briefly, one more thing. The incident was the latest according to the LA Times, the latest in a number of publicity stunts that have brought LA area freeways to a grinding halt. Do you remember there was that guy who blocked the 10 freeway in West Covina with a whole bunch of motorcycles so he could get on his knee and propose to his girlfriend on the freeway?
No, I don't. And I would have wanted the same treatment for him.
There was a case in 2010, and I remember this. Chip, you might remember who the band was. They were from Orange County, and they blocked the 101 freeway because they wanted to perform a concert on top of a truck.
I was just trying to – I remember I had just started a phone app here, and we were watching it on the news. And I can't remember, it was something Stars. And I remember being so pissed that they parked their tour bus in the middle of the freeway and stopped and played on the roof of it.
Yes, that's exactly what they did. They were later ordered to repay Caltrans nearly $40,000 in restitutions. Here's the final sentence, you guys, from Dufree, his rap name, from his manager. You ain't popping unless you got haters.
Look.
Yeah, we got to take this guy out.
This new thing about haters going to hate and all that is a really nice excuse to say, I'm not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of you and you're hating because you're bad people.
Yeah.
Right.
When in reality, 75% of the time, you deserve to be hated. Yeah, and this guy for sure.
100.
Exactly. You hate because they're hateable. Right?
Yes.
But Kevin, you ain't popping unless you got haters.
I mean, I heard that. I did hear that.
So stop it, people. Don't do this.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Meet Joe, shall we?
You are a terrible judge of character. Also, you have a weak chin and you can't dance.
All true. Bean makes his guess on the show today.
Oh, it's a terrible one.
Well, you know how to sell it. That's good.
I do. Yeah.
It's a terrible list. So you mean you don't agree with it and we'll be upset?
No, it's not that. It's just I worry it's too easy. I worry that you'll get them all.
See, whenever he says that.
Yeah, then they're impossible and
right.
We feel stupid.
No, this time. Okay. Well, you'll wait and see. It's only a half hour away.
Guy wrote an article that said In-N-Out is crushingly disappointing.
Okay. We need to take him out.
Couldn't hate it more.
Everything on the menu?
Pretty much.
I mean, the fries. I'll give them the fries.
Fries are a little soggy.
They're awful.
But with combined with that burger, fantastic.
No, yes.
No question.
Who is this man? Give me names.
He says it's the most overrated burger in America, and I wonder if this is a case where if people didn't rave about it as being the best burger of all time,
he
wouldn't
possible.
Think it was fine. Maybe he just doesn't feel it lives up to the hype.
That's possible.
Whatever.
Dave agrees with him, by the way.
Well, Dave's an idiot. So.
Okay.
Yeah. New World Cup date today.
Oh, good.
Dr. Drew's going to be on the program today like we do on Thursdays. Yes?
I was just thinking about where I was when I opened up an email that Kevin sent about...
Yeah, that was an emergency. We're changing the topic, right?
Is that? I think we have to.
I think so, too. Okay, good.
Do you want to say what the title of that email was? Or save it?
I mean, the title of the... I'm not positive Bean's on board.
Okay.
Because Bean is not on board.
He responded, blocked.
Okay.
Bean is no longer on the show.
The title is Stop Wiping Your Butt So Hard.
Uh-huh.
So
In huge letters that right. You then open at a table with people and you're like, oh. And then you have to show everyone at the table and they're like, these are emails you get from work? I'm like, yep.
Talk to Dr. Drew. It's an emergency, I think. We have to change topics.
Absolutely.
Kevin has never sent an email with more urgency than he did that one.
Sitting on the toilet, weren't you?
Jim Jefferies.
Yeah.
One of my favorite comedians of all time will be in studio with us today. He's got a Netflix special called This Is Me Now, and he's also got his Comedy Central show as well. We will take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Qualifying you to go to Lollapalooza in Chicago. 4-day pass to the festival, round trip airfare and hotel. You get qualified at 9 a.m. this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then throughout the day all the way up until 5 p.m. And then Stryker draws a grand prize winner every single day on K-Rock. We're giving away a trip to Lollapalooza, and it could be yours on the way. Hey, Allie, what's happening?
Hey, Bean. If you missed it yesterday, it was pretty late in the show when it happened. And if you stay offline and you didn't talk to anyone yesterday, you may not know that Joe Jackson, head of the musical family, the Jacksons, has passed away. He was 89 years old and had...
I am here with the man, the father of talent. He's planted many seeds in the music industry, Mr. Joseph Jackson.
I don't enjoy him talking about planting many seeds.
Mm-mm, I don't...
He planted many seeds in his wife, too, by the way, with 10 kids in that family.
Right.
And then I think one more... With
he had one with his girlfriend.
But at least he was a terrible person and a bad dad.
Absolutely. So,
well, that's what you want if you're an awful, abusive father, is have as many kids as possible.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, he had stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And we found out, I think, early in the week that he was in the hospital, wasn't looking good. So it seemed pretty quick. Did you have other beer mug tapes that you wanted to play?
Real quick before you go, Joe, I know you're the scout of very good talent. So I'm going to sing for you and you tell me how it is. You ready?
No.
Yep.
He's going to sing.
No.
Okay.
Now, what's going through Beer Mug's mind is, look, you discovered the Jackson 5, so if I sing to you now 50 years later,
I mean,
it's not that hard
to discover them as they are his kids in his house.
They live in his house. Okay. But what's going on in Mug's mind? Is that this is his big break in show business?
I need it.
I assume.
Joe Jackson is going to say, you're my next Michael Jackson.
My name is Beer Mug. I'm kind of fat. My name is Beer Mug. How'd you like that?
I don't like that.
Oh, Joe Jackson turned me down.
Yes, he did. America
like
turned you down,
dude?
Much.
Wow.
Yeah, that happened.
That sure did.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did he plan that? Like, or was that just improv?
I would guess
singing?
Not.
That was one more time.
But the emotion, too much for Tito.
First thing to remember.
Right.
Yeah, Tito was into it.
You want to hear him audition again?
I do.
Sure, standing right in front of Joe Jackson.
Real quick before you go, Joe, I know you're the scout of very good talent. So I'm going to sing for you and you tell me how it is. You ready? My name is Beer Mug. I'm kind of fat. My name is Beer Mug. How'd you like that?
I don't like that.
Oh, Joe Jackson turned me down. Mr. Joseph Jackson, how you doing, man?
I'm good.
I'm a fan of your family. Thank you.
What? Every single thing he says is amazing.
It is.
I love it all so much. Jared Leto is going to play the villain, excuse me. I just said it phonetically. Villain. Mm-hmm. Morbius in an upcoming film about that Spider-Man bad guy. So he's doing, you know, the Joker, Suicide Squad. Now mm-hmm. he's moving over to another villain. Do you know who Morbius is?
I don't. I don't know anything about
either.
Morbius, the living vampire. It's Dr. Michael Morbius. He's a scientist who suffered from a rare blood disease and attempted to cure himself to disastrous results. Instead of being cured, he became afflicted with a condition that was a form of vampire. The thirst for blood, along with fangs, super strength. And then he fought Spider-Man.
True story?
Yes.
Okay.
True story. All true. All true.
Including the Spider-Man part.
Well.
Of course.
Obviously. Yeah. Sony Music now has the rights to most of Prince's back catalog. Variety says that 35 previously released albums are part of the deal, including all the non-soundtrack albums for Warner Brothers. But that means no Purple Rain, Batman, those ones. That's a lot of music.
Yeah.
Moving hands. But there is no word on who gets that vault, all that unreleased stuff. So will we ever hear that? Or is that going to change hands at some time? Will the family start releasing it? Who knows? Because that's a lot to sift through.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because that man played every single day and recorded
every single song.
Everything.
Look, if that material that's in the vault is worth money, his estate will sell it.
That is very true.
You guys heard the last one that they released from him. Oh, from the vault?
I don't think I did.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Mr. Bombastic, baby fantastic, touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
Wow.
Going in a different direction.
Near the end?
Near the end, yes.
Near the end. He loved Shaggy, though. That was something that we all didn't focus enough on with Prince, his love of Shaggy.
Mm-hmm. I love what he just said.
Same.
Yeah, very true.
He's a solid, solid person.
Same.
You guys eat Halo Top ice cream?
I don't know what it is.
Oh. I tried it one time because I bought into the hype mm-hmm. and didn't love it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a influencer type of thing. They all love Halo Top. Whenever I see Halo Top, it's someone eating it on Instagram, and then Halo Top sends them
gotcha.
A ton.
Wasn't the deal, Allie, that it was supposed to be a lower calorie ice cream that still tasted great?
Yeah. Well, they're being sued by two people, Jillian Neely and Yusuf Kamal, because they say they're not receiving full pints. They're not filling it up to the top, you guys. So they are suing. They said that they are underfilling containers dramatically as a course of business, and they've been doing it for years.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
Well, that's essentially what Halo Top is probably going to say. According to Food Navigator attorneys, they said they can focus on the slack fill aspect. That means that they provide empty space to protect a product during transport.
Sure.
And someone from Halo Top was like, no, we've never underfilled our pints. You too.
But there are there's a lot of food, like potato chips, that you open the bag and it's half air, right?
Yeah,
all
it's,
cereals.
It's just
all
understood.
Cereal. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, those people have too much time on their hands.
A pint is not a pint is what it sounds like you're saying to me.
That's what I'm saying.
So you get zippo, mm-hmm. nada.
All right, so don't even go to court.
Right.
We solved it. All right. Some birthdays for you. Actress Kathy Bates, Felicia Day, Elon Musk, Rob Dyrdek. Where's he been?
Where has he been?
Just living his life with his cute wife and babies, probably. All right. Director Mel Brooks, you guys. Still number one of my list. Favorite people, not,
sure, right.
not boning. And actor John Cusack, who still has me blocked on Twitter. So happy birthday, John. And that's what's happening.
An all-new Bean Makes Us Guess on the way today. Comedian Jim Jefferies is going to be here, Dr. Drew Pinsky. And we're going to tell you about a young man we spoke with on the phone yesterday whose name is Justice.
Yeah.
And I just can't stop thinking about how cool he is.
I got to tell you, I thought Bean was going to propose on the spot.
It was weird.
Yeah,
I would
yeah.
like to at least be friends, but possibly date. His name is Justice, you guys.
Right.
And we're going to be looking for you and your awesome names coming up next hour here on K-Rock. First, though, there's a website called Thrillist that's very entertaining, by the way. They put out a lot of great material, and they had an article this week by an author named Andy Kreiza, who the headline is In-N-Out is Crushingly Disappointing. And I...
Boo!
I know I hear a lot of talk in this country in these troubled times about political divides and the worry that we literally are going to have a civil war. But I think long before we fight over Supreme Court justices and immigration, we're going to be coming to blows over this in and out being crushingly disappointing, according to this article. I don't think this is a statement that will stand with many of our listeners and many, many people in Southern California.
I'm not even positive. It's just not a giant troll.
Because in other words, you don't believe you're curious if anyone could really believe that In-N-Out is average.
Yes, and you read through the entire article, all of his mm-hmm. arguments and everything else, and you get to the end, mm-hmm. and he goes, "Still though, every time I drive past one, I pull
yeah.
in."
Yeah,
that's his. He still goes every time, and
absolutely.
If it's that bad, you stop going.
But he's disappointed every time, though. He says
he did liken it to that ex that you know, if you see an In-N-Out, all of a sudden you remember like. Oh, God, I remember all the good things.
Right,
and
but
I
he never had those good things with In-N-Out.
That's true.
It just doesn't make sense. So he says, more often than I'd like to admit, you can find me in line frantically going through the secret menu on my phone just so I can sound cool when speaking to a teenager in a paper hat. Because face it, In-N-Out is the most overrated burger in America.
Okay, that's... Nuts.
Right.
That's nuts.
Right. By the way, we welcome you to weigh in on this. Wherever you are on the scale for In-N-Out Burger, if you are a rabid fan, we want to hear from you. If you just think they're average or below average, we want to hear from you, too. 1-800-520-1067. King of Mexico is high-fiving this author, right, Dave?
I am, yes, because...
Oh, King of Wrong?
Here's the thing, guys. I do like In-N-Out. Like him, I do enjoy In-N-Out.
He didn't say that, but go ahead.
Yes, but... Every time you eat it, you are not satisfied.
Wrong.
No, you're
denied.
No, you're wrong. And you get it, and you're just like, okay, yeah, I have.
Well, hold on.
And
I want to hear from Dave. Why are you not satisfied? I don't understand. You just don't order
just,
enough food?
It's just a basic patty. Like, you get the double-double, and it's okay. It's not great. It's not filling. It's not – you just go, and you're like, you kind of go for the experience. Like, I went to In-N-Out.
So
it was
you
water.
Want a
you
don't go for the experience. Yes. Is what you want. You
Who
want,
goes?
Like, a thick, thick, meaty burger. In-N-Out isn't
it's not that.
That.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem. People, like, revere it. And it's not even that tasty.
He says
it's not – the burger is grilled.
This author says about yeah. the burger, this is your basic, salty, flat-grilled burger – that you can get absolutely anywhere. If somebody gave me a blind taste test between this and most other fast food burgers, I wouldn't be able to distinguish the difference. And I would like to say to you, you have an unrefined palate, sir. I could do that in a second.
And that's coming from Kevin, by the way.
Right. Now, he does complain about the fries.
Okay, let's not yes. let's take the fries out of it because everyone
let's
can agree
not,
the fries are
no, people love the fries. And
those
then
people are dumb.
That say, oh, you just have to order them crispy. F you. I shouldn't have to order
exactly.
fries crispy to have them not flopping around all over the place.
You have to dip them in stupid ketchup
those
to even give them taste.
Suck.
Yeah.
I will say that. They suck.
Now the author says, here's the rub. I will always go to an In-N-Out when I'm near one, braving the lines full of svelte Californians and fat Midwesterners on pilgrimage just to see maybe if I've come around. So he stops every time right. he goes by one.
It's funny you should say that, Kevin. Look at Lyft driver Scott is on line one. He's got a story to tell us here on the Kevin DeBeat Show, 1-800-520-1067. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Hey.
Good. So how does In-N-Out intersect with your Lyft driving?
So, you know, I was actually having this conversation in the last couple of weeks with a lot of the people I pick up, you know, and the thing is that I've been taking In-N-Out for granted, you know, and every person I pick up that comes from out of town and I ask them, you know, did you go to In-N-Out? They always tell me that it's the best hamburger they've ever eaten. So I think we can just crush the debate right there, you know?
No, they're stupid.
I agree.
They're dumb.
So, in other words,
so it's good arguing, Dave. Why don't you try something else besides they're stupid and dumb?
Okay, they don't know what a good burger is then.
Well, they're coming from other places in the country where they thought they were having a good burger,
no,
and it sounds like. But hold on, it sounds like Scott is saying. But when they come to Southern California and try the In-N-Out for the first time, they think that is better than what they've been eating back home.
You know
right,
why they
Scott?
Think it?
Hey, Dave, I'm going to tell you
yeah,
something.
I've been questioning. I had the same question that you guys are bringing up, and I have people from Australia all the way to just people coming from Chicago, and everybody says it is a really good hamburger.
All right, so points
and,
for Scott
and
In-N-Out.
This, you know?
Dave, I'm
going
to tell you a very, very complex subject, which is some things are subjective.
Yeah,
and
right.
that means that if you hate it, I can like it.
Yeah, it's true.
That's
yes.
a thing.
But here's
it doesn't
why,
mean I'm dumb.
Well, here's why people like it.
I could
it.
Be for other reasons.
yeah. People like it because it's so cheap and it's so basic and they think it's so good for their $2. It is not. It's just basic, basic burger that's not even that good.
I'm gonna present for your entertainment Ken on line 4. He's calling from Whittier.
Ken.
He's got something to say. Hey, Ken.
Yeah, look, In-N-Out is one of the best burgers I've ever had in my life.
Agreed.
Thank God. Thank God. They just opened one directly across the street from my house.
Oh, you're going to get so fat.
You're so lucky.
Dude, I'm already fat, but either way. People who say that Five Guys is better, those guys are just drunk all the time. Because I went into Five Guys, and I walked out. I didn't even buy anything.
This guy.
It was so annoying. They had the radio loud. I couldn't hear what the guy was saying. I was like, you know what? Go back to New York.
This guy, the author that wrote the interview, chooses Shake Shack as his that says way better. Okay. And
yes, the Shake Shack burger is better, but you can't compare them because Shake Shack is a sit-down place, and it's so much better, higher quality.
All right.
I've never had Shake Shack. But
well, you should, because that's pretty good, too.
In-N-Out
is the best, and that's the end of it.
I mean, Ken has spoken, you guys.
It does sound like it.
Yeah.
Ken. Let me read this email, you guys. Hey, Kevin and Bean, this is Michael weighing in from Austin, Texas. He's been streaming The Kevin and Bean Show and K-Rock for several years now. I lived in California the first 35 years of my life before moving to Texas. While in Cali, I used to think that In-N-Out was amazing. But after having Whataburger and other local burgers, In-N-Out is very average on the burger scale. When In-N-Out opened locations here in Austin, on the first day, the place was packed within an hour and a half wait as Texans waited to see what all the hype was about. On day two, it was a ghost town and has been ever since.
Wow.
It's a B for burger grade. Sorry, guys. Still love you because you guys are a strong B minus.
Understood.
I mean, that's pretty good for us, right?
It is. He said Cali. So anything after that, I was out. Out!
So denied.
Denied,
In-N-Out rules. Sorry, Dave.
Nope.
Shout out again to Dan Reynolds and his excellent, excellent documentary on HBO called Believer.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's real good. Hey, I know we have a feature due here, but let's welcome a beer mug first, or as I like to think of him, legendary hip-hopper, the DOC. Let's hear a little bit of It's Funky Enough, Muggs. Would you do that for us?
I don't know that song, but I know the DOC.
This is what he sounds like. So Muggs, what's happening?
Well, I was out for the last 2 days with a massive sinus infection, and with a lot of R&R, it got rid of all the mucus in my head, but it crushed my vocal cords.
Okay, but did you just tell me in the hallway that you took a Z-Pack yesterday?
I did, and I might not know how those work.
And it cleared everything up.
I mean, yeah.
So I'm all good. So Muggs was thinking that, what, he's not sick anymore because he took the Z-Pack yesterday, right?
I started
It's a magical pill. That's how it works. Instantly, you're healed.
It's a lot of pills, actually.
Yeah, it's not one pill, but that's the thing, Muggs. You don't take one pill and you're good. It's like a couple days that you're still really, really bad.
Well, look, and contagious.
So let's do this, and then you leave.
Yeah, is it just a sinus infection? Because that's not contagious, but that's not a sinus infection,
look,
dude.
Look, the guy said he took a Z-Pack yesterday. He has no idea what's wrong with him.
Well, we literally have Muggs in a different studio so he doesn't get us sick. But it's time to play Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes.
All right, I teased earlier that I thought this was going to be the easiest Bean Makes Us Guess ever, and here's why. Because you guys know by heart all of the things that can possibly be in this category.
Oh, don't tell us that, because then you set it up, and now we're idiots if we can't think of it.
No, no, literally, you know all of the answers to this one. There's not going to be any that are a surprise to you. It's just a question of whether you get them in the right order or not. Emory University, which is in a business school in Atlanta, recently decided to figure out who has the best and worst fans in the NFL. Who has the best fans in the NFL? Now, they used a bunch of criteria for this. They did adjust for market size. Obviously, there's more fans in Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, those big cities, than there are in the smaller markets. So they adjusted for market size, but they looked at three factors. All one right. is fan equity, how much fans spend on their team at the ticket office, buying memorabilia, regalia, things like that. Social equity, how passionate are fans in following their lines, you know, their teams on social media, for instance. And road equity, how well do these teams draw on the road? And I know you've got a bunch of teams that are just blasting into your head right now that you know are just the mega teams of the NFL, the ones that always draw the big fans and always draw the TV ratings. But let's see how many in the top 10 you can get. Who has the best fans in the NFL, according to this very scientific-sounding survey?
All right.
And Kevin, we give you the opportunity, as always, to go first. Who do you think has the best fans in the league?
The Houston Oilers.
Why are you not
Houston
even trying?
Houston Oilers. Houston
That's
Oilers.
Not even a team. It hasn't been for years, Kevin.
What?
It hasn't been for years.
That's absurd.
Allie McKay is not up next. Beer Mug is up next. Bugs, who has the best fans in the NFL?
I have to say, since they're part they own half the team, the Green Bay Packer fans.
The Green Bay Packers are number nine, believe it or not. Number nine, but that's a great point, is they are a fan-owned NFL team. All right, Alan McKay, you're up.
Dallas Cowboys.
Number one, yes. Cowboys are the best fans, which is, I hate all Cowboys fans.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's hard for me to get wrap my head around that, mm-hmm. but
sure.
Okay. Because they're just bad people.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, you're up.
I would say Miami Dolphins.
No, I'm sorry. Kevin, they are number 14.
They're
the
number 14? They're ahead of anyone?
They should be much lower.
Wow.
They should be much lower.
They earned it.
All right, Beer Bug.
When all those diehard Buffalo fans brave those games out there, I got to say Bills fans.
I got to say the Bills are 18th on this list. 18th. I don't get that feeling about the Bills. Yeah, they do have some hardcore fans, but I think they also have a lot of fair weather fans. I don't think they're a stick with through anything like some teams are. All right, Allie, you're up.
Steelers.
Yeah, Steelers are number 5 on the list. Kevin?
Thank you.
I am going to say, as much as it hurts me, Seattle.
Seattle, believe it or not.
What?
17th.
Ha. You know why? Why didn't they hand the ball off?
You think that's what did it?
Great point.
I mean, as someone who lived in Seattle for a lot of years, I couldn't believe how rabid the fans of that team were.
But you said this also takes into account traveling and stuff like that, so maybe they're not as strong there.
And social media and merchandise and the whole deal. Yeah, I was really surprised by that. All right, this is turning into be a little tougher than I thought it would be. Beer Bug, you're up next.
As much as we love to hate them, the Raider Nation.
You know what? I would have expected the Raiders, too. That's all we see in Southern California, it seems like. 21st.
Can we refer to Muggs now as Marge Simpson from now on?
A little bit. Yeah, Raiders not representing as high as I thought they would. They don't know how to use social media, either. That could be part of it. All right, Allie, you're up next.
If we're going, like, fan spending, social media, and travel, as much as we hate them, Pats fans.
Yeah, the Patriots are number 2.
Yeah.
Number 2 on the list.
Do we need the score?
Yes. What is the score?
Kevin has none. Muggs has none. I have 3.
I had 1, by the way.
You did?
Muggs did have 1.
Well, if we're doing top 20, I think, but I think Allie's the only one that got top 10.
I thought we were doing top 10.
I think
we are. Top 10.
And I got a number 9, whatever number 9 was.
Packers.
Thank you.
Muggs
didn't
have the Packers.
My bad, Muggs. My bad.
Thank you.
Sorry, Wolfman.
She is a Pats fan trying to cheat. Look at this.
Look at that.
Look at that.
I'm also taping him in the other room.
All right, so it's 3-1 Allie right now. I think you're up now, Kevin.
The Toronto Rough Riders.
Why are you even in this game?
Are they on the list? No,
they're not on the list.
All right, shoot.
All right, Bugs, your final guess, please.
Let's go Eagles.
Number 3, Philadelphia Eagles fans. Bringing it. Yes.
In the top 5 for most annoying.
That's true, too. Yeah. Allie, you have already won the game, but just for fun, let's see if you can get another one.
Well, I'm debating between 2.
All right.
It's either the Broncos or the Vikings, so I'll go Broncos.
Number 8. Well done in the top 10. All right, here's your top 10. 49ers at number 10.
Okay.
Packers at 9. Broncos. And this one was a surprise to me. It's a small market. The Saints. New Orleans Saints at number 7.
That is a big surprise.
Yeah.
Bears.
No way.
Bears. Then Steelers.
Sure.
Giants.
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 And they've been trying desperately to get rid of their fan base.
Yeah, they're doing everything they can. And their quarterback, for that matter.
Right?
Then Eagles, Patriots, and Cowboys. In case you're wondering, by the way, the Chargers came in at 27th, so they got a lot of work to do. They had quite the upheaval a couple of years ago, sure, moving markets too. And then the Rams are at 31st.
Wow, how's that?
Again, they also switched cities within the last
few years. Sure, that makes sense.
So it definitely makes sense. And dead last, by the way, is the Titans. They have the worst fan base in all of the NFL. This has been Bean Makes His Guess.
Bean Makes His Guess, yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Allie McKay, what's happening this Thursday morning?
What's happening is Ant-Man and the Wasp. It is coming out in theaters July 2nd, but I would like to give you a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advance IMAX screening of Marvel Studios' Ant-Man and the Wasp at IMAX headquarters.
Yay!
All right.
That's a huge deal. Agreed. And on July 2nd, that's a really big deal, you
Agreed.
Guys. Kevin, I
we
don't
agree
think
with
you're
you.
Listening
We're
to me.
Happy about
I'm
it as well.
I'm saying this is great.
Right.
I think that's like Monday or something.
Agreed.
July 2nd, by the way.
Yes, it is.
It is indeed. So if you would like to go Monday to go and check out the Advanced IMAX screening of Marvel Studios' Ant-Man and the Wasp, give a call right now. We'll take callers 10 through 14 at 1-800-520-1067.
Yeehaw.
And some sad news to report. Steve Soto of the Adolescents has passed away at the age of 54. Mm-hmm. The band confirmed the sad news on Twitter this morning with, quote, "With heavy heart, I share the passing of Steve Soto, my friend and bandmate since 1979. I don't know what to do or to say goodbye, my brother." And besides the Adolescents, he was in Agent Orange, Manic Hispanic, 22 Jacks, Punk Rock Karaoke, so many other bands. And it's hitting people really hard. And Chip was saying, if you're an Orange County person, Orange County kid, even slightly involved in the music scene, Steve Soto was just huge.
Yeah, and the Adolescents as a band is huge for Southern California, but especially Orange County.
Yeah. Well, The Offspring tweeted, "We are devastated by the news of Steve Soto's passing. He played in so many great bands, was a great bass player, guitar player, and singer, but mostly he was just an honest and sweet guy. He was our hero in the Adolescents and an inspiration to us as musicians." And from Kevin Lyman, Vans Warped Tour, he said, "I just found out Steve Soto passed away. He fought through so many health issues, and they finally caught up. He was one of the most positive people I ever knew. Did the whole Vans Warped Tour with the Adolescents in a van last summer. Rest in peace, my friend."
It's real sad.
Yeah, 54.
That sucks.
I don't like it. I don't like any of it. Can I interest you in some new Alice in Chains music?
Please.
They have announced their first new album in 5 years, Rainier Fog. And you can listen to a brand new song from the upcoming release called So Far Under.
Wow, Alice in Chains is really into the World Cup.
Different.
Didn't expect that.
Yeah. Really. That is Alice in Chains.
Sure is.
Right
no
there.
Doubt.
Yes.
It's not No Doubt.
No, I'm Alice saying it's, when you hear that, it's No Doubt it's Alice in Chains.
Gotcha. Yes. Jerry Cantrell said, quote, "You get guys like us together, and S just going to start happening." He was your neighbor, right, Bean?
I lived with Jerry Cantrell on one side of me and Sean Kinney, the drummer, on the other side of me.
What a crazy party that time must have been for you.
I had an Alice in Chains sandwich going on in my neighborhood back in Seattle, yeah.
Yeah, you did.
How many times did you talk to either of them?
Well, Sean I knew pretty well.
Okay.
Because he had dogs and our fences, you know, were next to each other, so our dogs had a lot to say to one another. So we got involved in a lot of conversations. Sean had some sort of huge exotic cat at his house too, like a tiger. It wasn't a tiger, but it was an animal like that. And it was
an animal like a tiger.
Well, there's lots of big cats. I don't remember exactly which one.
Like
he
a mountain
had.
Lion or something.
Something like I never figured out exactly
like
what
a
it was.
Bobcat.
Yeah, I'm saying it's
like
was a big
jaguar.
There are a lot of big cats.
Right.
But I'm saying I was always so nervous about that getting out and like eating us all. But it never happened. So I'm glad I brought it up.
Right.
I think it's good.
I'm
spent some time on that.
We'll edit that out.
Please. We're not on the air yet, live, right?
No, we're good. No,
okay, good.
Rainier Fog, by the way, comes out on August 24th. Have you guys...
Before you move on, Dave just reminded me. He actually had visited me and told me what the cat was. It was a civet.
Civet.
That's
what
car.
He had. It was a Civic.
A Civic.
That's a
Civic.
It's
Honda.
Yeah, that's
it's
different.
A great car,
Civic,
by the way, to this day.
Hey,
Civic.
Being identifying it didn't help the story any.
Okay, sorry.
Because we've never heard of that either.
But at least Allie had moved on, and then right. I dragged it right back into it.
Correct. Okay. We're going to have to completely edit this and refigure everything.
I will say, as a former Honda owner,
yes,
my Civic was still one of the best cars I ever
had.
He
didn't say Civic.
Just never had a problem with it.
Yeah.
My story is looking so good now.
Right? Man, I miss the good old days.
Oh, thank you for that. Please.
You guys ever had to write a check for $25 million?
Daily. You know.
Right.
I can't. Can you even do that?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't even think.
It's insane. Well, Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine had to write a check or, you know, dip into their accounts to a former business partner after a jury sided with him. They ruled that the Beats co-founder owed unpaid royalties to a man named Stephen Lamar. He had helped design work for three models of Beats headphones, and he wasn't paid. So he's like, hey, guys, I'm suing you. And then the jury's like, well done, sir. $25 million coming your way.
Wow. That's pretty strong.
That's a lot of money, you guys. I will happily not do work for them and then have them sue me. What? Sue them.
I don't.
Guys, really?
We can edit.
How's everyone doing? What was it? A Civic? Civet?
Civet.
Uh-huh. And it is a big cat.
It is a big cat, yes.
All right.
Like a tiger?
Like, is it like a liger?
Could we move on?
I'll have to
like,
edit
what
all
genus?
That out.
What genus?
Bean.
Ah, yes. All right. Birthdays for you. Elon Musk, Felicia Day, Kathy Bates, Mel Brooks, John Cusack, and I can't pronounce his name. Kevin? Is it Rob Deer? I think it's Rob Dyrdek.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Durden is part of Robin Big. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Durden. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Durden is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
So he was in studio.
Yeah.
And I said that even more times than that.
Yeah.
And he never corrected me.
See, I was going to say he's such a nice
yes.
guy, did he?
So then later, when they played that for me, I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I did that so many times
man.
With him sitting here.
Yeah.
So we called him later in the show, and I said, why wouldn't you correct me? And he goes, thought it was funny.
He's the best. And that's what's happening.
Hey, I just want to say thanks to the Kevin and Bean listeners who have been posting their photos of the Kevin and Bean t-shirt.
That has been awesome.
It has been so cool to see. And they're all in the mail right now. So if you ordered the latest limited edition Kevin and Bean billboard artwork t-shirt with our friend Allie Siegel's tremendous artwork. And by the way, how tickled is she, Allie, to see all these photos on
She's
social media right now?
Loving it. It's wonderful.
I mean, she created that for us. And now it's walking around all over Southern California. California, which is so awesome. So please do that for us, though, when you get your t-shirt, when you first wear it, put up a picture. We'd love to see it. And you sure weren't wrong about Kevin Bean being right on the boobs, man.
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite one was, did these faces make my boobs look big?
So we appreciate it. So definitely you know, tag us in it when you post your pictures up on social media. We'd love seeing how much you're enjoying the t-shirt. So thanks again. It's Thursday morning. The World Cup's still going on, Kevin. We're almost out of the group stage.
Thank God.
And we almost get to the point in the competition where you lose and you go home. No more ties anymore, right?
Saturday, yep, no ties.
So this feature is not even about soccer, but it's about all the awesome stuff that's going on in Russia right now. It's time for another Kevin and Bean World Cup Date.
World Cup Dates. We're going to talk about the World Cup. World Cup Dates. We're going to let you know what is up.
Going to talk some soccer and some people call it football.
World Cup Dates.
Is on the air.
Okay.
Pretty exciting.
All right. Our first story. All right.
Kind of got to peter it out there.
Our first story is The Simpsons predicted. And by the way, The Simpsons sort of has this reputation because in 2000... they had a sign on their show, it was on TV or something, that said President Donald Trump in 2000.
Yes. There's a list of like 30 things that are now have come true that the Simpsons had on their show years before. It's insane.
Now they're finding a Simpsons episode from 1997, and it had a soccer tournament on the TV, and it was the finals of the World Cup, and it was Mexico and it was Portugal. So now everybody's going, how do they know?
Was that the last World Cup?
No, no, no. It wasn't at all. It was 1997.
So that's what I'm saying.
But I'm saying 2000, they said Donald Trump. That didn't happen for a long time.
Right, right.
All right.
They just put it out there.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
I'm just saying there are a lot of people that love the fact that they're doing that.
A lot of people are saying.
Yes. A lot of people are saying.
That's right.
If it ends up being Mexico and Portugal, is that possible, Kevin, with the divisions that they're in?
I'm not positive.
If it ends up being Mexico and Portugal, though, I think that's pretty cool. If
it's better than pretty cool. That's insane.
That's nuts.
The next story comes out of Spain. Siesta hour is preventing Spain from watching daily World Cup openers. Apparently, the timing of the opening game conflicts with their siesta.
God, I love that country.
So they nap, and they hang out, and they take their little siesta instead of watching maybe one of the opponents they're going to have to play.
Interesting.
They literally miss it.
Huh.
And then there's another one while they're training, so they only get to watch one, and that's during dinner, so they might watch or they might not watch. I don't think they care much. I don't think they care much. Here is a weird story that's tied into the soccer. England is playing Belgium today, right?
That's right.
Okay. So what happens is, in the group stage, if everybody's tied, it comes down to all of these tiebreakers. How many goals you scored, how many goals people scored against you, if you play head-to-head, how many blah, blah, blah. They will be tied in every single category. If they tie.
Whoa.
So then it comes down to tiebreaker after tiebreaker. The first six, they're all tied in. So it will come down to the seventh, which is how many yellow and red cards did you get? Which is, for misbehaving. It's like a technical in basketball.
Right.
You get two, you get kicked out. So they say that's a bad thing. All right. So now these two teams are thinking, okay, we're either going to play Brazil or Mexico. And no disrespect to Mexico, but we would rather play Mexico.
Okay.
So they're saying that this game, neither of these teams will want to be first.
Oh, no.
Because they would or second, because they would have to play Brazil.
Right.
Instead of Mexico, it would be an easier game.
Right.
So people are saying that to make sure that happens, they're going to try
to get
more yellow cards.
No.
To cause more fouls so that they can then in the next round play.
Have an easier game.
Have an easier game.
What time is that game on?
Isn't that crazy?
That's the game I want to watch.
What time is that game on, B?
It's 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
Right.
And
so they're both going to be trying to throw it.
I think so. I mean, they have to win.
Right.
But if they tie and they throw it more successfully, then they'll move on.
That's awesome.
Which is one of the weirdest things ever.
Yeah. Seems like a bad system,
it does, yes. And speaking of amazing things that happened, I do have to talk about Mexico and South Korea yesterday. And I know most people don't care that much about soccer, so I'm going to go through the highlights as quickly as possible. Mexico played Sweden, and they needed a tire win to move on. And this is the first Sweden goal.
Here comes the cross.
So 1-0 to Sweden, and then 2-0 to Sweden, and then 3-0 to Sweden. So Mexico supporters bummed.
Yeah.
Really bummed. Because they had a good run. They won two games. Most of the time, 6 points get you in.
I was seeing some of that video on the news of the viewing parties that were going on during the game, and you've never seen a sadder group of Mexicans than watching their team flame out in this final game.
By the way, after winning two games, 6 points almost always gets you through. This is a weird situation. But everybody sort of forgot about South Korea playing Germany. And Germany had to win to have this all happen.
And obviously Germany was going to win.
There's no way Korea was going to win. They had 0 points in the tournament. They hadn't won a single game. They hadn't even tied a single game.
Okay.
And they were playing the last World Cup champions.
Yeah, the defenders.
So tied at 90 minutes. How is that possible? No one has scored yet.
Yeah.
And then in like the 92nd minute.
Towards the near post, bouncing around dangerously, and South Korea have scored! Can you believe it? Empty net to shoot at. It's going to be a long run.
And then here's the Korean announcer.
And
the end, they just go, ah!
So they weren't into it.
So Korea beat Germany.
Okay.
At which point, all Mexican fans realized, if Germany's not in it, that means we go through to the knockout stage anyway.
Oh, wow.
So they turned around. They were so bummed. They started celebrating. They went out. They found Korean fans high-fiving. Aww. They were putting up pictures of a hybrid Mexican-Korean flag on Twitter. Even in Mexico, they were celebrating. They went to the consulate, and they got the consulate general, the head guy at the consulate in Mexico, and he came out to say hi to all the fans who were chanting outside, and they picked him up, and they were throwing him over their heads.
Stop!
Yes, it was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Aww.
Like, how many times has that guy, the consulate guy, been thrown up in the air on someone's shoulders? Never?
I'd go never, yeah, definitely.
But it was crazy. Aww. And then you saw both fans celebrating together. A 22-year-old Mexican fan said, honestly, I don't even know where Korea is, but I love them so much. This is so great. And Korea doesn't go through, but they beat the last World Cup champion, and so they were excited about it as well.
So Germany's out?
They're out, yes.
Germany?
Yes.
This is the earliest they've been bumped from a World Cup tournament since 1938.
Yeah.
So this team's had a pretty good run.
And Korea did it. So Korea and Mexico are now best friends.
Oh, that's nice.
And that's awesome.
World Cup dates.
I mean, it has to be top five, right? Weezer?
Weezer songs?
Yeah.
Or just top five in general?
No, top five Weezer songs.
Yeah, for sure.
We've been talking about this for about 2 weeks.
Right.
trying to figure out which is best from Weezer.
Well, it's hard to rank Weezer songs because they have so many outstanding songs.
Yeah, agreed.
Hey, last night was the Super Secret Smashing Pumpkin show at the Troubadour. Dave King of Mexico was there. Dave, real quick, what's your review of seeing the three-fourths of the original band plus more on stage together at the Troub? About 400 people there seeing the Pumpkin show.
It was so great to see them. Their set list was amazing. Amazing. There were songs that we haven't heard in a long time, like Drown, Soma. It's just so good to see them all back together.
And what about the hits? They play some of their big ones?
All their big ones. And even the fan favorites that are kind of like deep cuts, they were playing them all.
Wow.
What a fun night. And then Davey Havoc from AFI comes out, and he sits in with the band and sings the Joy Division song Transmission, which is one of my favorite songs. And they did that as the first encore. And that's the that's a one-of-a-kind thing to see in person.
Yeah.
A place like the Troubadour. Cool. It's very cool. So yesterday we were giving away tickets to that on the show, sending some K-Rock listeners to see the concert last night. And we met a listener, and we all fell very deeply in love with him. And this is going to get us on the topic of awesome names.
We were trying to play a game called Just a Second. And the guy told us that his name was Justice, and Bean stopped all the proceedings because he had a lot of questions. Justice in Echo Park. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
That is an awesome name. Justice.
Yeah, I was named after the And Justice for All album. That's where my parents met.
Nice. I love it. That's the coolest name story ever.
Hey, you guys, we have a game.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just want to chat with Justice for a while.
We're going to play a clip, a one-second clip of a Smashing Pumpkins song.
Hang on, before you do that, Justice, do you have any siblings with similarly interesting names, or are you the only cool kid in the family?
My sister's name is Jamin.
Jamin? Where's that from?
Yeah. I guess it was like my aunt's like friend's name at the time.
And not
like,
as cool.
Yeah, that sucks for her.
Not as cool.
Wow.
What if they just misheard Bob Marley? We'd be jamming. Jamming it is.
So that went on, and then we did eventually get to a game.
Yeah, did he win? I don't even remember.
I don't either. I think so.
Okay.
I think he did, yeah. So what we want is unique names that have a great backstory. Mm-hmm. Now, what we don't want is Luke, because you're a big Star Wars fan.
Right.
Because everybody can sort of understand, see where it comes from, they know you're a fan, and blah, blah, blah. So there's no real story there.
Right.
I was surprised by Justice's story, because I thought, I'm going to mock this guy because that's a terrible name. Then he went with Metallica, and I was like, all right, well, that's great.
So,
well, I mean, if his parents had been lawyers and they were just really into Justice, not as
dull,
cool.
Right?
Not as cool.
Right.
If they had been just huge, like, comic book fans,
agreed.
And it was like a truth Justice in the American way, you know, it's okay. But naming it after a Metallica album? Now we're talking.
Turned it around. We all loved him.
So are we looking for people who have been named after cool things?
I think you have a unique name.
Mm-hmm.
It can be one that we've heard of or not, but the backstory is what's important.
Yeah. Okay.
And nothing obvious, like I just said with Luke, Leia.
How about,
you know,
how about
get your name was, Darth? You know,
this was a real guy. His last name was Knight, and his parents named him Jed, first name, middle initial I. So his name is Jed I. Knight. Now, would he qualify as being cool?
I don't think so. You just about, because the answer is he's a big fan. That's it.
How about this real life person named Jurassic Park?
But why would he be named that?
See, there's no backstory here. His name is Jurassic Park.
The backstory matters.
How about Bud Light? Would you be excited by a guy named Bud Light?
Yes, only in that I know he's a partier.
These are real names that people have, by the way. How about if your last name was Dactyl? What do you think they named
Tara? Tara.
Her name is Pterodactyl.
Yeah. That's the greatest.
No, it isn't.
Oh, if I was named Pterodactyl, roar!
How about it?
You would make that noise, and that would be great for
you
everyone.
Would be like, what's your name again? You heard me.
All right, guys. Your family name is Bacon. What do you name your son?
So good.
Ham and.
You name your son Chris, middle initial P. He is Crispy Bacon.
I mean, again, the backstory is your parents love bacon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so not what we're looking for.
I think
then.
The backstory is more important than the name.
Yeah. Okay, so 1-800-520-1067. You have an awesome name or a good name that has an awesome backstory, right? That's
yes.
what we're looking for?
Yes, yes.
Taking your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Should we take one real quick before the break?
Sure.
All right, why don't we make it, well, let's try Sasan. I assume it's pronounced Sasan. Maybe I'll find out I'm wrong here. Good morning.
Good morning.
How do you say your name?
I'm named after my name's Sasan.
Sasan. Okay.
And, it is Sasan. Go ahead.
Yes, it's not Hassan with an H.
Right. We heard. Okay.
S-A-S-A-N.
All right. We got it.
Jesus Christ. Well, trust me. I've had many bastardizations.
I'm sure. Do you have a backstory for your name?
I mean, we pronounced it right from the beginning. You're yelling at us.
What's the backstory?
I've had an entire lifetime of it. So
what?
You guys have the only
You're unbelievable.
For a few minutes, and I've had a lifetime.
All right,
of it.
Great chatting with you. Bye now.
Oh no, was he named after the jeans? Ooh la la, Sasan.
That's Sasan.
No, that's Sasan.
His full name. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we'll never know the backstory because he wouldn't tell us. All right, that doesn't count as our one call. So why don't we try?
It was on
Ninniki. Ninniki line 3.
Ninniki. Yeah, that's me.
Is it Ninniki or Ninniki?
It's actually Ninniki.
Ninniki.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I can honestly say you're the first Ninniki I have ever spoken with my whole life. That is an unusual name. Is it something your parents made up?
It is not. It's actually like a phrase. It's either a phrase or a goddess. It means I love you, but it's really weird spelling too.
Okay. How do you spell it?
Ninniqui.
Boy, is your life a living nightmare?
Yeah, is that good or bad?
It's really bad. It's bad.
Because everybody that you tell your name, they go, what? And then you have to explain it to them?
Yeah. Mm. School sucks because people don't ever get my name. I get, like, through weeks of telling teachers my name, and then I get a sub, and they're like, what's your name again?
Your name is awfully long. What do people call you for short?
Hey, you or Necky?
Necky. Okay. All right. That makes sense. Well, I'm sorry, and I hope you never spoke with your parents again once you got old enough to leave the house.
Yeah.
What did you think about Sasan not telling us his backstory?
I mean, that's kind of stupid.
Okay, thank you for the call. We're going to take a break. 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back. Just ahead of Green Day, let's take one phone call. We're talking about unique names and their backstories. Let's go to Gilbert. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
Great, thanks.
We're good. You named your daughter what?
Vienna Berlin.
Vienna, Berlin. Okay, so you have a map. We got that.
Yep.
It's named after the cities?
The backstory is that my wife and I were traveling Europe, and, you know, we were making a baby throughout Europe, and she could have been conceived in either Vienna or in Berlin. So, Vienna, Berlin.
I hope that's not your story to her.
Yeah, I was just thinking, every time your kid sees or writes or thinks of her name, she thinks about mom and dad doing it.
Hey, you know what? We're good-looking people. It's all good. She'll know that.
I'm just saying, that's a nightmare for her. But at least you smile.
Honestly, I think it'll inspire her to travel. It's a good backstory. It's a nice breaker for her, so we're doing her a favor, too.
All right.
Wow, that's nice of you.
You think that. It'll inspire her to travel and get banged in Europe, I'll tell you that.
What is wrong with you?
Well, I mean, you're talking about his daughter.
It's true.
What's wrong with you? Look, the apple doesn't far fall from the tree, right? All right, Gilbert, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
What we appreciate it. I got aggressive fast, didn't I?
Right?
Taking your calls and unusual names and their backstories next after Green Day on King.
What if your name was Asshore?
That's a good question, Jed. It's a good question. I'd like to hear the backstory on that one. All right, so 1-800-520-1067. We're taking your calls on unusual names and their backstory. We had Justice on the phone yesterday, whose parents named him after the Metallica album and Justice for All. And we just thought that was the coolest, so we thought we'd find out who else was out there. I think you guys are going to like some of these a lot. Let's start with Mackenzie, line 6, please. Up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show, calling us from L.A.
Hey, Mackenzie.
Morning, guys. First time, long time.
Thank you, and thank you.
Check you out. So this is finally the topic that brought you to the phone. We appreciate that. Why is Mackenzie such an interesting name for you?
So I was originally named Patricia, and so my initials were PMS.
Good, excellent.
I guess 6 months later after I was born, my mom saw the Spuds Mackenzie Budweiser commercial, I believe. Liked that instead, so switched my name. So now I've got Mackenzie as my first name.
That is the best backstory ever. You could have been Spuds, by the way.
I kind of wish she was Spuds a little bit.
Kind of wish I was, too.
Oh, Spuds.
I wonder how often that happens, that parents change a kid's name after, you know, after the first day. Really?
Yeah.
Usually you pick a name and stick with it. That is really interesting. So do you like the name Mackenzie? I think it's very pretty.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it because my mom is no longer with me, so it's one of those names that I really, really, really like.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you for listening, and thank you for finally calling. We really appreciate it. Let's go to line one. This is going to be Anaheim. Believe it or not, the listener's name is Ansys. Ansys is on the line.
Are we saying that right? Ansys?
Yep, Ansys. Hi, guys.
Hi there. So your name is Ansys.
Yeah, my mom was visiting Salem, Massachusetts. And she was in one of the graveyards. She saw the name Anstis on one of the gravestones and wrote it down. And then a few months later, she was pregnant. And she said, I have this really cool name. And that's it. That's the story.
What if it was the name of a witch?
Yeah, have you looked it up? Is it a name of one of the witches?
We actually did look it up. It's Anstis Darby. She was actually the daughter of a pirate. And he was the pirateer mate was one of America's first millionaires.
Okay, that's the coolest ever. And have you gone back to the graveyard to see it?
I haven't, but it's definitely on my bucket list.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
For sure.
I'm going to say that works out. That checks all the boxes.
I love it.
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it so much. Let's go to... Oh, did I do that?
No, I did.
Okay. Let's go to Katie, line 4, please. Santa Ana. All right. This is going to be one of those first name, last name combinations, so we're going to have to decide whether we'll allow it or not.
All right. Katie, hi.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My daughter's named after The Clash. Her name is London Collin.
Hold on.
London Collin.
Wait, is Collin your last name?
No, it's her middle name.
London
with a Y.
London Collin. I don't hate it. I kind of like it.
But you love it.
I do.
I sort of really like it. Yeah.
But you love it.
I love
right,
it.
That's what we're saying. Why are you arguing with us? We love it.
I'm just excited that you love it as much as we do.
All right. Thank you very much. Why all the digging, by the way? What's happening with all the digging?
I'm saying we'll allow it.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll allow it. Okay,
we'll
gotcha.
Allow it.
All right. Wow, this
she
is fun.
She was great, but you love
but
it.
You guys, we were saying we love it.
You guys want to meet my new friend, Portia Frisbee? Would you like to meet Portia Frisbee?
Please.
She's online,
yes,
too,
please.
Calling from Santa Ana.
Hey, Portia Frisbee.
Hey there.
How are you? We're good. How did that name come about?
So, my mom was a big fan of Shakespeare.
Same.
So I'm definitely not named after the car.
Okay.
So Portia is from Merchant of Venice. Super strong female character, strong heroine, mm-hmm. didn't take any crap from anybody.
And Shakespeare loved the Frisbee.
Oh, we all know
so.
That. And last name, not spelled like the toy at all.
Okay.
So imagine all the super fun names growing up with that.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then to top it all off, it gets even better. My mom planned for me to be born on Valentine's Day by C-section.
Right.
And then her water broke anyways, so I was just meant to be screwed from the get-go.
Huh.
Oh, right. And I work at an automotive shop.
Okay, I'm not getting, I'm not drawing all the connections between the...
I'm not tracking.
I get the Porsche and the automotive shop. I'm not sure about the Valentine's Day.
Okay,
C-section.
That's okay, because we'll leave it there with Porsche Frisbee. Okay. That's, we'll allow it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll allow that.
All right, let's try Oscar, line three. His story involves his grandfather at wartime, right?
Hey, Oscar.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I must have to say, I love the show. Party people, you're amazing.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so my great-great-grandfather, when the French invaded Mexico, he met this dude at a cantina. And you know nothing happens at a cantina that's good.
Right, sure.
So he meets this Frenchman, gets to drinking with him, tells him his name, just Palafuchs, and then he's all like, huh, I really like that name.
What was it?
Gets him more drunk, just feeds him more drinks.
Okay.
Takes him outside and then just murders the man. Takes his last name for himself because he's all like, I love it that much. Wait. I'm the only one that's going to have it in Mexico.
Okay, wait. At some point in that story, was there murder?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Why did he have to kill the guy to take his last name?
I think it had more to do with the tequila.
I see. I got
you. You know when you drink tequila, you murder a man for his name.
Murder. Yeah, happens all the time.
Seems like the right thing to do.
What is happening in this story?
So your great-grandfather killed a dude, took his name, changed the family name to that name, and it's still the name today that runs in your family?
Still the name today, yeah. My grandmother told me this story, and my great-grandmother told me this story, because I was curious. I was like, how do we have this non-Hispanic last name where everyone is Gomez, Lupez, Lopez.
That's
awesome.
But
we're all of a sudden Palafox.
I'm sorry. That's awesome.
That is right.
You know who doesn't think it's
story.
Awesome? Old Frenchie.
Yeah.
I'm always worried the family's going to track us down. Like,
right.
Our last name, we have to get them back.
All right. I think you are the winner, sir. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Jim Jefferies, comedian, joining us in the next hour. Very excited about that.
He's the host of the Jim Jefferies Show.
Yes, oddly enough.
And he has a new Netflix special that's amazing, coming out on the 13th of July. We love Jim. We're happy to welcome him back to K-Rock. That's coming up right after Allie's What's Happening for this Thursday.
Remember when Bean posted that picture of what looked like a bionic hand on Twitter?
Yeah, I thought it was fake.
It looked fake. Uh-huh. Apparently, it was taken like mid-surgery on Tom Morello's hand. If you look at the picture, and I'll say don't, let us just describe it. It's like this flap of skin on the top of his hand open, and then this metal in the middle. It's insane looking.
That's the part that looks like it's bionic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really weird.
And you were saying what, Bean? He did it last week?
Yeah, that surgery, I think, was like a week ago today, I think.
So you play the guitar.
Yeah.
You take some time off, right?
I would hope so, yes.
I mean, I would think with that kind of surgery where they're actually inserting metal into your hand, maybe a couple of weeks or a month.
Well, not Tom Morello.
Well, okay.
However, he did ask for a little bit of assistance. This all happened Tuesday night in Stockholm.
Last Thursday, I fractured my hand and broke it in two. And the doctor said, there's no way you guys are going to be able to go on tour. I said, there are some crazy-ass motherfuckers in Sweden, we need to see this. So staple it back together and make sure I'm at that show. So here I am, 5 days later, rocking it to the best of my abilities. But I gotta tell you, my arm's getting a little tired right now. Is there anybody out there who knows how to play any Rage Against the Machine song?
That's gotta be my man. Come on up. Come on up.
Let's hear it from Mike. I'm gonna take a little break with his hand. Mike's gonna try to rock some.
Not buying it. I saw the video. That's Mike.
Right. I'm not buying it. He's a random guy in the crowd, though? That's too good.
Not only random guy in the crowd, right in the front, just lifted right over the barricade. Dude ran up, ran right for the guitar tech in the corner, and then started playing that.
That was
how
great.
How lucky are you? Or how did you set it up with your friend Mike Svensson before the show? Either way, it was a great moment.
Sure.
It was really cool to watch, but
It's crazy that he played 5 days later.
That I feel insane. His doctor is probably calling him. Like, that was really dumb.
His doctor probably knows Tom Morello.
Yeah.
So he can't really.
And Mike Svensson, by the way, is not some kid who just noodles by himself in his room. He obviously had a lot of experience being on stage.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he's all over that stage and posing and doing the whole deal. He's got to be in a band at least.
I would think he's someone Tom Morello knew and they just put him up front. But either way, that's awesome.
Yeah, the guy's stage presence is phenomenal. Here's the thing, Tom, I learned this a long time ago. You never let someone even nearly as good as you fill in.
Oh, because now people are going to go, what about that Tom guy?
That guy, right?
Tom's got the hurt hand.
And for me, it's not hard. So I'm fine. But Tom, don't. Okay, just mark that down. Go ahead. But Tom Morello, we don't need to see Mike Svensson. New band member.
I don't think he's going to replace Tom.
I'm very concerned for Tom.
I think Tom's good.
I'm going to tweet him. We got to get. You know what we need? We need Oscar, that caller whose grandpa took out that Frenchie. I feel like it's in Oscar's blood. Do a little murder, right?
Head I don't know that Sweden. That's needed. I don't.
No?
No, I think Tom's fine.
All right.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm just putting it out there.
Okay.
Remember when James Corden did his whole trip to England?
Yep.
Did a show from there? Ratings bonanza.
Oh, really?
He had the highest ratings that he's had in a year. The last highest ratings, the last time he went home to London. I feel like maybe James should just do a show from London because it seems to be good. I think it also helps when you do carpool karaoke with the most recognizable human on the planet.
Well, that's the only thing I would say is that if you do it from there full time, your guests are not going to be as fantastic if you do it there 1 week.
Right. He had great guests all week long, and it was a real, real fun week. I'm a perfect example of somebody who doesn't watch James Corden on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I taped that whole week and really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And no matter, you guys, how many times Jimmy Page and Robert Plant say they're never going to do another Led Zeppelin reunion, we keep thinking it's possible.
I'm ready to stop asking.
I'm not.
Okay.
The UK's Daily Mail says odds makers are already taking bets on Led Zeppelin with Jason Bonham as the headlining giggers Glastonbury 2019. So headlining Glastonbury, they are in the running. They're the top odds makers. Who's with me, right? 50th anniversary next summer.
I mean, it all makes sense.
Perfectly.
Sure.
Other favorites to headline that massive outdoor festival, Fleetwood Mac, Beach Boys, Elton John, Rolling Stones. Here's the thing. I remember saying, all I want is a Led Zeppelin reunion. Just once. I just want to see them once. I was too young to ever see them. Right. I need to see them. And I remember Bean saying that Robert Plant just doesn't have the voice anymore.
I thought it, plus, just so over it.
Oh, totally over it. But when you're getting thrown gazillions of dollars for just maybe one show.
He doesn't need the money, Allie.
Everyone needs money, Bean. It's America. Oh.
There's a lot wrong with that statement.
Okay, all right. But here's my point. My friend was at Arroyo Seco last weekend and was sending me clips of Robert Plant doing Zeppelin songs. And they were freaking incredible.
Because he's picking the acoustic-based Zeppelin songs. You don't see him doing Cashmere. You don't see him doing Whole Lot of Love.
He did Whole Lot of Love, sucker. Eat it!
Really? Yep. But I bet he brought it down a lot though from where
dude,
he was.
Dude, wet blanket. Come on now.
No, why do you hate Robert Plant so much?
Because I'm telling you, I don't think he wants to do it. And I honestly don't think he has the voice to do those songs justice like they did the last time they got back together in 2007 or something like that.
Okay, here's the thing. Do what is and what should never be. Do Go Into California. Do the kind of Taking It Down songs. Mm-hmm. Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You. Do those. Mm-hmm. Then when you do the Whole Lot of Loves and the, what is it, Bad Dog? Black Dog.
Right.
I had a Black Dog. He was very bad. Do the Black Dogs. Those songs, maybe you bring out
that guy Tom that was playing the guitar. What was his name?
Mike Svensson.
Mike Svensson. Bring him out.
You know, more singers, whatever. You're still seeing freaking Led Zeppelin up there.
Okay. All right.
Bean, I need it to happen, and I feel like you're what's standing in the way.
It's not. I promise I'm not.
I don't think the band cares that Bean's
no,
in.
They're like, if Bean's in, we'll do it. We're going to listen to this segment, and that will be the deciding factor.
Bean's
Yep.
Okay.
Bean's
a dick. Bean's a dick.
The one thing I will say that this reunion has going in its favor that a lot of reunions don't is that the members of the band still seem to get along. They still seem to conduct business together. You know,
right?
They just announced that big 50th anniversary book coming out together.
Now you're arguing against your original position.
No, but what I'm saying is at least that is one step in the right direction. You've got guys that don't hate each other.
Right.
So, I mean, look, I'd be happy if it happens if it's good. That's all. I don't think there's any reason to do it if it's not going to be good.
And, yes, you don't have John Bonham. What's the next best thing?
Oh, I don't know his seed.
Right?
Sure.
His kid. There. Go, 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 go. Let's do this.
And don't forget, Dave Grohl has an offer out on the table forever to say, whenever Led Zeppelin wants to play, I'm your guy.
Yep.
He wants that job bad.
To play the drums?
To play the drums for Led Zeppelin. Yeah.
I feel like that's just rude to Jason Bonham, though.
Okay. Look.
Listen, I'm going to work through this, but...
Okay.
Give us a call right now.
No,
if you think it's rude.
No calls.
Zero calls.
All right. Some birthdays for you. Felicia Day, Kathy Bates, John Cusack, Elon Musk, Rob Dyrdek, and the greatest man to ever walk the face of the earth. I want to watch Jeopardy. I want to eat soup. And I want to sit in a recliner and just talk to you, Mel Brooks. That's all I want. Make my dream come true. I love you, Mel Brooks. Happy birthday. That's what's happening.
I got a shiver down my spine when Jim Jefferies said he travels 140,000 miles a year.
That's only within America. I also travel internationally.
Well, how does that not add to the miles?
Yeah, I know, but that's just on my that's just on Delta. I do that. That's not including when I do other airlines. I do well over 200,000.
So you never have to pay for a flight at this point, right?
No, I still have to pay.
It's all points. It's all points, though, isn't
it? I have points, but then you can't claim them off your tax. So the points are for holidays, and I don't have enough time to have a holiday. So
you can't use the points on the holiday either.
I have 1.4 million miles in points.
Okay, and if you're not using them,
can you sell them?
Yeah, you can gift them.
They still sit. Occasionally I go on like a trip. Like I took me and my son to Australia, sort of first class. And that
sort of first class.
That ate up about 400,000 or something.
Is there a part in your mind where you go, okay, one day I'm not going to be making any money anymore and I'm going to be so happy to have these points?
It's going to be Thursday. that day's rapidly coming.
But Jim, forgive me for being ignorant, but now that you have your own show on Comedy Central, which I know isn't the highest paying network in the world.
No.
And you've got a big Netflix deal with those specials. Do you still have to do as much stand-up as you used to?
Well, stand-up pays more than television. You know, you make more money.
Stand-up pays more than Comedy Central.
Yeah, it pays more than Comedy Central. So you have to go out and actually do that, because otherwise what's the point of doing the TV show? Because you've got to – they sort of feed each other, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What's the point of doing the TV show? I'm changing the hearts and minds of Americans everywhere, and that's why I do it.
I do want to give you a compliment, and I don't want to say it the wrong way, but when you started, hosting a TV show is very, very different than doing stand-up. And it was, you know, you could tell you were feeling your way through. You're great at it now.
Yeah, I know, but then all the people that I lost at the beginning aren't watching the show now. So
you're great now.
If you watched an early episode, watch one now. I'm good at it now.
I didn't think you were bad in the first
one.
I didn't know really when to lean in and do the seat thing. You're great at the seat thing now.
That's my calling card. So I lean back on the lazy boy. Not even the lazy boy, just a normal recliner.
Now, I have a question for you, Jim, because you are political, as everyone should be in this day and age. There's plenty to be political about. Do you feel like you have ever changed anyone's mind on an issue that is important to you?
I think I've been there at the tipping point. If someone's been thinking about becoming an atheist or thinking about gun control or something, I may be giving them a few good arguments to have at a dinner party, but I don't think I've ever, like, found a gun-toting Christian who lives in the Bible Belt and I'm, like, changed that person's mind.
I'm selling my gun today because Jim Jefferies changed my mind.
And I also don't think those people... I think they don't listen to me, but they do. They listen and then they get angry and they write to me every day.
I'm sure.
What a terrible human being I am.
You did almost an entire show on the immigration at the southern border, and it was mostly not funny.
but great.
It's very hard.
It was great.
It's about kids being torn away from their parents, and it's hard to make a lot of jokes. You know, we made some nice Nazi references.
At the beginning, you did a good Nazi chunk.
We did a good
then you
Nazi
even
chunk.
Came back. Like, it was fascinating when you interviewed the guy that was working down there and had quit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you came back and you go, this show's really funny. We'll be right back.
Maybe as a chaser, you watch that show and then you chase it with the Amsterdam sex robot.
That's my favorite. We lied a little bit, the sex robots. We didn't lie, but the guy was from Barcelona. We just spent the day in Amsterdam and we flew him to Iceland. But we acted like we flew to Barcelona. we put more effort. No, we flew him to Iceland. The sex robot and the old, I can say this, the Fucken twins.
That's their name, right?
That's their name, the Fucken twins. The oldest prostitutes in the world. Their hands are arthritically shaped.
They're already in position.
They're already in position.
To use a pen.
Yeah. Use a large, thick pen.
Bragger.
One of them looks like it could use. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's probably.
We got it. And one of them's called Loose Fucken. Right, and she.
Okay,
had,
again, that's a name, people.
That's a name. It's a real name. It's a Dutch name.
Right,
and she had no idea why that name was hysterical. Like out of the, she said at one stage that she'd had sex with over 300,000 people. I was like, wow, that's a lot of people. But then I did the math, and it didn't play out. Like at the most, she'd shag like 80,000.
Yeah, there's no way.
It has to be like, and even then, it's like 10 a day, and not taking Christmas off. And,
Christmas probably a busy day for her.
Yeah. And her and her sister would stay. They're still working.
They're not. How old are they?
I think they're almost 80, if not 80.
Oh my gosh.
They were there when the Americans liberated them from World War II.
Wow. And are still showing their appreciation to American tourists.
Yeah, they were 4 or 5 back then, and that's how they got into the trade. All the soldiers came. No, I'm kidding. But they were nice ladies. I liked them a lot. They me too'd the hell out of me. I have some claims.
They came at you.
You have claims that they were too aggressive.
Them, yes.
I gotcha.
Every time we went to take a photo, they were grabbing me with their arthritic hands and having a...
Are you sure they had control of them?
Yeah. I'm not even sure if they were awake in the photos, but they were definitely grabbing at me.
I would like to play a clip from your Comedy Central show and ask you about using Brad Pitt as your weather guy.
Right, sure.
Because it's awesome.
Welcome back, weatherman.
Calls him weatherman, doesn't call him Brad at all.
So what's the forecast?
The forecast is we're all going to die, and there'll be no one left to remember our stories.
Thank you, as always, weatherman.
Sure thing, Jim.
How did that come about?
I hear he went through a divorce.
You heard that? Okay.
Yeah, it was in the paper, right?
Yeah, there was a little bit of him going through a divorce. I think what happened was... He just stopped sort of watching regular TV, from what I can gather, and he got really into Netflix.
Oh, because you didn't want to see his story everywhere.
He just was done with the entertainment news and all that type of stuff. So Netflix doesn't have adverts, and he started watching a lot of stand-up specials, and he really got into me and Bill Burr.
Wow.
And so then, like, I kept on going down. We had the same management, and they go, Brad Pitt was just down here, and he was talking about you, and he really likes you. And I'm like, going, this guy, they go, you guys should have dinner sometime. I'm like, sure. you know what I mean?
Because who could believe that?
Yeah, and so what happened in the end was Netflix, he had a movie, War Machine, come out, and they said to him, they go, oh, who would you like to have interview you as an extra feature? Now, that was the first interview I've ever done. And he said, Jim Jefferies, right? And I was like, they go, you're going into Netflix to interview Brad Pitt. and I'm getting good at interviewing now, but back then I was pretty nervous. And then we had a meal together, right? Me and Brad sat and had a meal.
Are you dating?
Well, we were for a briefly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then what happened was, after I did this appalling interview, I think I was shaking the whole time, and they go, oh, Brad says he'll do something on your show, right? And so I was like,
sure again.
I said to my management, I said, oh, well, how about he, straight away, like off the cuff, I went, how about he becomes my weatherman? right?
Which you, of course, don't need for any reason.
Right, yeah, for no reason. I said, or a sports guy or the financial guy or whatever, but I think weather guy was the first pick. And mm-hmm. my management, Alex, bless him, he was there going, please don't do this because I'll get in trouble because I'm not his manager and Bernie Brillstein or whatever the head guy. I think
too much high power around
Brad
Pitt.
I think that guy's dead. Anyway, so they go, they don't want him doing this. Why don't you talk about, like, how he rebuilt houses in New Orleans after the hurricane, or maybe talk about adoption and getting, you know, and his kids and all that stuff.
Yeah, something useful, right?
Yeah, but it's also, I was of the opinion, well, that's stupid. If you want to see Brad Pitt talk, we have a lot of footage of this.
Yeah, you can
see
find
him anywhere.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You can see it anyway. So I rang up because I was told by my manager, and I said really sheepishly, I said, oh, well, I could talk to you about a house in New Orleans. And he's like this, no, no. No, he's like chewing gum and doing whatever Brad Pitt does. And he's like, no. I go, or you could be my weatherman. He goes, love it. Let's do it. Okay.
Oh, my God, I love Brad Pitt.
That's awesome.
So are you guys friends now?
Well, I text him very occasionally.
Whoa.
Drunk on like... And then I get really upset, like it's a girl I like, and I sort of sit and wait and go, oh, maybe he's busy.
Yeah, hold on. Before you're impressed, has he ever texted back?
He does text back.
Okay,
Then, like, he's several times, like, I think he needs to change his phone number, like, twice a year because, you know, whatever. So I always get on my phone number's change list. So that's a big one.
How about
that's
that?
That's a big one. But if you steal my phone, I put him in as a secret name. You won't know who he is.
All right, we need to take a break. The Jim Jefferies show that we're talking about is on Comedy Central Tuesdays at 10:30, and he's also got a stand-up special on Netflix, and we'll talk about that next.
Comedian and actor. I'm just going to say actor.
I'm TV presenter now.
TV presenter.
My acting career ended when society decided that I shouldn't act anymore.
I loved your show so much.
It's not that I didn't want to act anymore. It's just that no one ever gave me any more acting jobs.
Aww.
Jim Jefferies, your show was one of our favorite shows.
I'm so sad that we
mourn the loss of Legit.
That's how I know Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt's favorite TV show was Legit.
Is that right?
Brad Pitt got slightly starstruck when he met DJ Qualls and Dan Bacadol, who was sitting in the audience.
Amazing.
And by the way, speaking of Jim Jefferies and his new Netflix special debuting on July the 13th,
Friday. The 13th.
You even mentioned that Eddie Murphy was a huge fan of Legit as well when you met him.
Murphy had watched Legit. I don't know if you're a huge fan, but he said he liked the show. Yeah, he mentioned the episode where I was masturbating the disabled boy over Skype.
Yeah, that was particularly disturbing and hilarious.
I feel like this episode. Interview has a theme.
Now, speaking of themes, Jim, you are, and we've known this for a long time about you, you are fearless on stage. You have no concern whatsoever as to how many people you are going to gross out with the material in your special. Is that fair to say?
You say that, but if I said the things I really wanted to say.
How is that possible?
Yes. What can you possibly be leaving on the table once you get that deep into docking?
Yeah, you. Yeah, that deep into docking is a difficult. Did you Google docking afterwards?
No.
Here's what I will tell you is that Bean emailed us. I barely made it through that segment.
Oh my God, are we wound
in? Well, the thing is, like, it was that joke played out different because the show was performed in London where everybody has a foreskin. Normally, it's like
can't get into too much
detail
here.
You mean a smelly hood is what you mean?
Yeah. You got a foreskin, and when I performed in America, it was a different response because it was a bit more of an argument in the audience, like whether it's good or bad. When I did it in Israel, it stormed.
That's so weird.
That was one of my favorite parts of the special because you legitimately yelled at the audience in London about their foreskin.
About mm-hmm. their funky penises.
Yes.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say funky penis?
Sure.
Absolutely.
All right.
It was one of my favorite groups from the 70s. Do you ever look out and see, like, just pure shock and awe and revulsion?
I'd like to change that question. Do you ever look out and not see that?
Okay, I see a lot of... What I do is I perform in a lot of casinos, mostly Indian... I do Vegas and stuff, but I do a lot of Indian casinos. And what happens at those places, all the casino really wants from you, because they're always like 50 miles out of town, they just want you to get 4,000, 5,000 people to come out to their casino. Right. So they pay really well, those gigs and everything. But always the first three rows are filled with their high rollers. Now, people who are high rollers in Vegas, that's one thing. To be a high roller in an indie casino 50 miles out of Seattle in the...
Right.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. You've made some bad life choices, right? And so what happens is, so there's like just... And so they justify, they go to every show that comes into town.
Okay.
And so I've just got rows and rows of really old people and just people who can hardly speak English. And so just, they're not fans. They haven't seen me at all.
Right.
Now, my argument is that you should watch 1 minute. If I was going to go to a band, I'd Google the band.
Of course.
Right? Sure.
They don't.
At all.
They don't.
Huh. That's crazy.
And so by the end of every show that I do in an Indian casino, the first three rows are empty.
You ask people to fill in? I'm just
not a good show to see on a whim. Like, you got to have... And also,
you would be for me, but not if...
I tell you what happens. Like, my kid goes to a private... He's going to a different school now because he's starting real school, right? But it's like... With the schools, they always, you know, they always go, hey, we're having a fundraiser. Could you host a... And I'm like,
maybe I'm not your guy.
Yeah, what I do on stage is a fairly particular thing. I use the C word very liberally. And I have to meet all the mums in the car park. And there's one mother who just thinks that I'm constantly drunk. And I think
But you are.
Well, even now, there's people who are listening in their car right now, and they're going, "Oh, he's drunk." Right?
You sound a little bit tipsy, but that's your delivery.
No, it's my accent.
No, not all Australians sound drunk all the time, Jim. It's just you.
You sound fine.
I might not sound. I sound like a Hemsworth with a stroke, but I don't think. I think I sound all right. I think I've always wanted to be like in a Pixar film or something like that.
To do a voice of a character?
I would like to do a voice of a character, but I don't, you know, I think that, you know, it's a very...
They should let you do it, for
you
sure.
You could easily do that.
There was one that always happened. Tim Minchin wrote one. It was for DreamWorks, and the movie never got all the way through, and I was going to be a crocodile. I remember that.
He worked for like 4 years on that, and then they just folded up.
They just canned it. He wrote songs, and Hans Zimmer was involved.
That's the one. Why he left L.A. Yep. He was so pissed at those people.
Yep.
Is that why he left L.A.?
Yeah, he told the story here.
All right.
He was like,
it just broke his heart.
People and what they did to me. Family's packing up. We're going.
But when you talk about Pixar, then there's a board meeting where somebody in that room goes, "Do you guys know what Jim Jeffries does?"
I think it was Jim. Yeah, but see, this is my argument.
Okay.
Eddie Murphy plays the donkey.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Watch Delirious.
That's true.
The jokes in Delirious don't age well.
That's true.
Good point.
Right?
That's very true. He uses
the F word for homosexuals and says they have AIDS all over their lips.
Yes.
When was that?
That was 30 years ago?
No, 98.
No.
That was I'm going to say about 85. He was like 19 or 21 or something. He was very young.
Yeah.
But
you're saying you can do both. You can do your act and you can also be funny in a kid's movie.
Richard Pryor used to freebase crack until he burnt half of his body. And that's, incidentally, the reason he wasn't on the Muppet Show that week. Right, he was the guest on the Muppet Shows because he burned himself so badly with the, and then he was in the movie The Toy and all that type of stuff. We're watching Eddie Murphy in Daddy Daycare,
and they're saying no to you,
and then all of a sudden they go, "No, he's too filthy. Oh, he can't be in our films." It's bigotry against Australians. That's all it is.
Jim Jeffries is here. We got 2 minutes left.
Okay.
The special is called "This Is Me Now," which, by the way, you will laugh out loud when you find out why he says that. The special.
Yeah.
It debuts July 13th on Netflix. Let me play just one quick clip. Now, I beeped something out here that is not swearing, but it's a punchline that Jim gives about a story that he tells involving some people revolting against him in the audience at a prior show. And the only reason I want to play this clip, I want you to listen to the reaction of the crowd that he is playing in front of when he says this thing he says.
And his sentence fell out of my mouth so fast I couldn't put the words back in. I went, well...
Listen to that.
I'm not proud of this. I'm just reporting it.
He's just reporting it. That's all.
I will say this. I don't
know what I was saying.
Oh, I'll tell you after. But I was watching it, and I had that reaction in my living room, and then I laughed so hard at a guy in the front row that just starts clapping, and his body is just going back and forth. It is one of the funniest comedy specials.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
It's so great. Damn good.
It's great. All right, the Jim Jefferies Show on Comedy Central airs Tuesdays at 10:30 in season two now.
I'm leaving now?
We gotta say goodbye, but we got one more thing for you.
Well, what do you want to do?
Wait, stay one more.
If you want to stay around, stay around.
I'll do another segment.
We just did the big farewell.
Don't be so racist against Australians.
We don't want to talk about Brad Williams dressed up as a munchkin on my show.
Yes, we do.
So much going on now.
Yes, we do. We take back the goodbye.
All right.
And we say, let's stick around. We'll be right back.
That's what it's like spending a few minutes off the air with Jim Jefferies is we just saw him write his next special off the top of his head.
Did I?
It really did.
It was an anti-New Zealand rant.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim. If there's any New Zealanders listening on the radio right now, turn it off. You're not welcome. You can turn it back on when I'm not on the air, but I don't want you hearing my voice.
Jim was telling us it's the worst place to go to do comedy. We were like, why?
They have never had any acts visit them. They don't know. They think that they're meant to yell out at you all the time, and they just keep on yelling. And then, like, one time I was in Auckland, and they just wouldn't stop yelling. There's about 4,000 people, and they wouldn't stop yelling. I said, hey, you have to stop. Because I can't tell the jokes. It's not like I could. It was a heckle that you could deal with. It was just them constantly yelling out requests for old jokes and just yelling the C word at me because they thought that's what I wanted to hear.
Right.
And so I said, you have to stop. And then I said, look, let's just reset and start again. Be quiet for 10 seconds, Auckland. 10 seconds. Right? And then the newspaper the next day goes, and then the Aussie diva, the Aussie diva requested 1 minute silence from the audience or he would storm off the stage. And it's like, that's not what happened at all.
So, bad taste in your mouth a little bit from New Zealand. It's okay.
Once you've visited the place where the hobbits were, you're done.
You're done. Okay.
Once you visit Hobbiton, that's the only thing. Look, the beaches have black sand. Why would you go? Why? That's all it is.
That's the worst form of Australia.
It's like if Australia ate a bad meal and then it passed through its bowels, right. It would be New Zealand.
This all happened because I brought up my friend from New Zealand, by the way.
Does everybody in Australia feel that way about New Zealand?
A lot of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not everyone. Some people. Look. Okay, John Cleese agrees with me.
Okay.
John Cleese went there. They named a dump, like the trash heap. After John Cleese, because he said never again, never again. I'm not doing it.
I didn't realize there was this animosity.
Tell us about the Beatles.
It's the only place in 1964 at the height of Beatlemania where it was the only show the Beatles didn't sell every ticket. Ever.
And that was at the height of their popularity.
1964, they'd just been on the Ed Sullivan Show. They went and toured Australia and New Zealand. They honored a contract from 2 years earlier that they booked. They honored the whole thing for the exact same price. They were getting paid nothing.
That's crazy.
They were getting paid nothing, right? But they still did it. And everybody in Australia, like in New Zealand, like a million people line the streets to go and see him or something. There's only 2 million people that live there or whatever. But then I think the ticket price is a bit high. And there's probably a rugby match on it that night. We have to see the All Blacks.
That's amazing.
That is the name of their team.
Yeah, that's the name of their team. Their soccer team is called the All Whites.
All Whites, yep. That
sounds very Alabama of them.
You're making me rethink New Zealand, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Like when we talk about it, the deep south, you know, you get much more southern than New Zealand.
We are going to run out of time again, Jim, so I want to ask real quick, Brad Williams.
Yes.
You had him on the show. You mentioned what happened was very funny.
What happened was the last living dwarf died, right? Mm-hmm. There's other dwarves.
Munchkin, last living Munchkin from Wizard of Oz.
Munchkin died. His name was Marin. I can't remember his first name, right?
Okay.
Mark. Let's call him Mark Marin. The last living Munchkin died. And what happened was he was 98, which I've been told is a long time in Munchkin years, that's like dwarf years. I don't know if do they die early. I've wanted to ask Brad, but it's a hard one to bring up. Anyway, so what happened was I found out about this news story that Lars Munchkin died, and I thought it would be funny if Brad came on the show and we had told him he was going to talk about a different subject, and then we were just going to talk about the Munchkins, right? Which was funny, and we had like a green screen and kept on changing to the Olympic Road.
It was insulting and hilarious.
It was insulting and hilarious. But the hardest thing about that sketch was this. Was not doing the sketch, was the phone call that I had to personally make to Brad to ask him to do it. Right, because he could be offended. Like, when you ring up a dwarf, even if that dwarf is a friend of yours, and your opening sentence is, so the last Munchkin died. Like, he knows.
He knows the whole rest of it.
And he goes, yes, I've heard, yes, Jim. I go, that was sad. Jerry Marin, that was his name, Jerry Marin. And
there you go.
He was a member of the Lollipop Guild. Mm-hmm. He also has his hands out in the Chinese theater. That's a thing. Yeah, that's nice. Little tiny one.
Well, of course. Yeah. It was very funny to see Brad come out there with his big lollipop.
We went to the candy store on Hollywood near the theater, the big suite, that big candy store, and we said, can we have replicas of the Lollipop Guild's lollipops, right? How much do you reckon? Because they're like three times the size of your head, right?
Yeah.
This big lollipop. How much do you reckon? Custom made. How much do you reckon?
Probably 40
20
bucks.
I was going to go $80. Hey. I might be too rich now because I don't know the value of things anymore.
What was it?
It was $26, but I thought that was reasonably priced.
Oh, I thought it was 40, yeah.
I think that's fair.
It's good. I thought like custom made and had to make a big one. They probably had to bring in a bigger stick.
Sure.
Like they wouldn't have had those sticks just lying around. They had to bring in the big support stick. But that's one thing I did ask Brad Pitt. I go in the interview, I just said, hey, Brad, how much is a gallon of milk? And I go, I don't know. And he goes, is it more or less than a gallon of gasoline? And he goes, it would be less than gasoline. You'd think that, but it's a trick question, same price.
Oh, I bet he appreciated that trap.
They're always rocking around that. Well, the thing is, I didn't know either. I had no idea. I had to Google that. I don't know how much avocados or grapes or milk or anything. I have
you're
no
too
idea.
Rich.
Well, it's just
you're
like
too rich.
Also, I just don't care anymore.
Because you're too rich.
No, but even when I did care, I just if you go to the counter and they say it's this much, you go, I guess it is. Right? They could say. I don't even go to Whole Foods. I'm still a Ralph guy. Uh-huh. Right? Whole Foods too pretentious. They can piss off Whole Foods.
Okay.
Anyway, so I go there. I like to have.
Jim, we have to go.
No, we don't.
I'm sorry. We do. We're
What's
out
wrong with you,
Bean? Because we're out of time. Because we're right, screwing everything up.
Then answer me this.
Yeah.
Shouldn't milk be a lot cheaper than gasoline? If I hear you Americans bitch one more time about the price of gasoline, it has to get drilled through the core of the earth.
Right.
And then then we have to refine it, and you guys go, and we're running out of it. It's a limited resource. It's a limited resource, and you're all like, this stuff is so expensive. It should be like 10 times the price.
That does make sense.
And then milk, we have milk aplenty. No, it's still a name.
Still a name.
Sorry.
To actually just get the udders and get the milk out. They can do that every morning. We have unlimited supplies of milk, same price as something that has to be refined. Texas gold. It should be called white gold. Milk. Milk. Cow farming's where it's at. If you want the real money, don't try to find oil on your property. It's too hard to get.
He's not wrong. The Jim Jeffrey Show, Tuesdays on Comedy Central. New special is hilarious, July 13th on Netflix. Kevin, do we have time for 60 seconds or no?
Sure, do you mind?
Yeah, let's do it.
Sure.
60 seconds. I'm just going to rapid fire questions, and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
What were you like in high school?
Shorter and nerdier and thinner.
Did you get kicked out ever?
No, I never got kicked out of high school, no.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
No, that's disgusting. That's okay. Disgusting.
Have you ever been in a real fight?
Yes, yes. I punched a guy in Newcastle, England just last year.
Last year?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Did he go down?
No, I just clocked him in the face, and then he just sort of stumbled back, and then, like, I waited for security to come. Nothing happened. I just turned around and got another drink.
Nothing went as well as you expected.
The guy could have sued me. It was after the gig. Like, he could have... Anyway.
Is there any way we can convince you, including bribery, to stop talking about docking?
Well, I have stopped the docking. I've retired my docking. Oh, but I'll take the bribe.
let's see. World Cup fever. Yes or no?
No, I'm World Cup dead now. The fever got me and I got knocked out. And now I'm in World Cup coffin.
Jim, we love you, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, man.
And it is 8:55.
You want to go to Lollapalooza? We will qualify you in 5 minutes from right now on the Kevin DeBean Show. We will ask you to call in, and then this afternoon, just after 5 o'clock, Stryker will do a grand prize drawing of everybody who qualifies today and send someone to Chicago, round-trip airfare and hotel, 4-day passage to the festival for Lollapalooza. That is coming up first. Allie, what's happening?
You guys remember the Jim Jeffrey time?
Yeah, it was great.
Jim Jeffries is the best.
He's the funniest.
Seriously. Well, sticking with the Beatles conversation that we were having, Ringo Starr got a really, really scathing review in the Times of Israel. He had a concert over there last weekend, and he was with this all-star band. Writer David Horowitz said, quote, he was the dispensable Beatle. He certainly couldn't sing. It is frequently nastily, but what quite possibly accurately asserted that he wasn't even the group's best drummer. Take a bow, Paul. What is this? What is he even saying? Then it went downhill from there.
By the way, I thought that was sort of a given. Maybe not as strong, but that he was sort of...
No, he's a great drummer.
Yeah.
A great drummer. Yeah. But yeah, his voice obviously was not the best in the band, of course.
The final song, almost inevitably, was with a little help from my friends. And the operative line here was, I'll try not to sing out of key. That might now be the realistic limit of the star's ambitions.
Whoa.
Whoa! What is wrong with him? But the reason I read this, because they also include a joke.
Oh, this is the service. They add the joke.
Yep.
In hopes that you'll tell it as if it's yours.
Keep in mind, Times of Israel is the one that wrote this.
Okay.
I read the news today. Oy vey.
Wait, that's it?
Like, I read the news today. Oh, boy. But they changed it to oy vey.
Even if it was meant as a joke, few are laughing.
I'm saying that's just really bad, really bad. Do you guys remember when Rebel Wilson wound up suing a media company saying that you guys wrote all these lies about me, about my growing up in Sydney, and it cost me jobs in Hollywood because they said that she had this different upbringing and all this stuff. And she was like, no, those are all lies and I'm suing you. And she got $3.1 million in that,
no
right?
Kidding.
And it was a huge, huge deal. I'm sorry, she got $3.5 million. Well, guess what? She now has to pay back $3.1 with interest because they actually, you know, sued her back. And here's the deal. They said the damages were excessive. They won that case. Now she has to pay them back. $454,000 is all she gets to keep. The rest?
Wow.
She has to pay back with interest.
Do you think she even has the rest?
This was in 2016.
Right.
Don't you think you win that case? You're kind of good.
Right. But you buy a house?
They then appealed it.
Wow. Is she going to appeal again?
I don't know.
Just keep going until
the
end of time?
That's not good.
No.
You have to pay back $3.1 million plus interest. I just don't have that kind of money, is what I'm saying.
They're not telling you to.
Okay, yeah. Good. And great news, you guys, if you have a teeny tiny little butt, big butts are out. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, big butts are out. Because remember, everybody was getting the butt implants. You wanted to look like Kim Kardashian. You want to look like J-Lo.
Sure.
Here's the thing. The fad of gigantic butt augmentation is on its way out. Instead, treatment of cleavage lines are the top procedure for people on the red carpet and women that wear a lower cut top.
Okay.
You don't want wrinkles on your cleavage, Kevin.
Right.
Right? I've said that for years.
I've heard you say it a lot. Mm-hmm.
And that's something that older ladies get, right?
I would think so. Yeah. Absolutely. Other plastic surgery trends involve bringing just the tip of your nose up with a little drop of Botox. And then men are getting more plastic surgery than ever. 5 years ago, men were among 1 in 20 patients. Now it's more like 1 in 8.
Wow.
Kevin, if you could have anything done, face, body, whatever, what would you get done?
Testicles.
You'd get them put
super
back
super smooth.
In, or
super smooth.
Oh. Okay.
I wasn't ready for the question, so that's what you get.
Bean, what about you? Have you ever thought about getting anything done?
No, I haven't. The surgery that I want, I don't think is available, and that's that they make me about a 8 inches shorter.
Really?
Yeah.
Your height bothers you.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Very much so. Yeah. Yeah. It's awful.
Oh, Bean.
So when they make that available, I'll be down.
Over it.
Yeah, I'll be down. Sure.
I mean, we can make you shorter. We can just cut you off at the calves.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I still want to have working legs and feet.
So. Oh, got it. Okay.
You
that wasn't clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think there's any other, like, cosmetic surgery or anything like that I would do. Not that I think everything works just right, but I just don't think there's much way. I don't have the raw materials to make an improvement.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent.
We could ask Dr. Drew next.
Oh, let's do
just
that.
Run it by him.
Yeah. Some birthdays for you. Felicia Day, Kathy Bates, Mel Brooks, John Cusack, Elon Musk, and I don't know how to say his name. We'll find out next hour, Mr. Rob Dyrdek. I believe that's how you say it. Kevin? No?
I don't think we have that right
now. All right,
now.
We'll play it next hour. Yeah. And that's what's happening.
Congratulations to Sarah Saunders from Hollywood. She qualified for Lollapalooza. We got another chance for you to qualify at 10 a.m. and then again at 11 and 12 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. And then Ted Stryker picks a winner. And somebody today who qualifies will win the trip to Chicago to see the show. Round trip, airfare, and hotel included. All right, it's Dr. Stupinski time, you guys. Hey, Doc.
Hey, guys.
We got a dilemma today. We need you to be the wise man that we know you are. There's a topic that we had scheduled to discuss with you that I think is important. I think it'll save lives.
Right.
I think it's a real look into a serious problem that we have going on in America.
You thought that before I found the alternate topic.
And then Kevin came up with something that he is insisting on, and we are deadlocked here. So we're going to give you, the medical professional, the opportunity to address one, both, or neither when you hear the topics, okay?
I'm going to try both. I'm going to say blindly I want to try both. I'm going to try it.
Okay.
Well, okay, so topic one that we had is we wanted to talk to you about how accurate or not the depiction of Benedict Cumberbatch was on the recent HBO series Patrick Melrose addiction. Okay.
Important topic. Can't wait.
All right, and especially how it relates to Anthony Bourdain.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right, so that's thing one.
That's
my topic. That's my topic.
Let me add
them.
Okay, so that's a great topic.
I'm excited. now here comes Kevin with his topic.
All right, here's the headline. Stop wiping your butt so hard. It's something known as the polished anus syndrome.
Wow.
Right?
Rethinking that
seems,
Patrick Melrose,
seems
huh?
so much more important than Patrick Melrose, right?
Let me dispense with this one, if you don't mind. Or dispatch might be a better word.
Experts say that people have been wiping their butts all wrong, Dr. Drew.
I think there's something to it because people can get pruritus ani and other sort of disorders of that tender tissue down there because of the advent of all the, you know, the Chuck wipes and the people inadvertently using Clorox wipes. You remember Mr. Kimmel doing that accidentally?
Oh, right, yeah.
And people digging in deep into the what's called the verge area.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily so. That instrument is designed to work the way it works, and you don't have to be a compulsive cleaner to make it work better.
So if it itches...
However...
The article says that's...
A little too much, perhaps. However, as we age, the tone of that circular muscle down there becomes a little more what we call patchiless. And so there is a little more need as you get much older. But generally, everybody, don't dig so hard.
See, I sent this article to Bean, and he just wrote back, blocked. And I was like, how can you not see the magic in this topic?
It's magical, and I'm happy to be a part of it. I feel like Tinkerbell is flying by, touching her wand to Kevin today. This is magnificent.
It really would be a breakthrough if it found out that something that people don't ever talk about because they're too embarrassed or it's too personal, if it found out that it was a health crisis because we were all doing it wrong, and we really need to kind of relook at this, I guess.
I know that Kevin's preoccupation makes it feel like a health crisis.
It's a health crisis, Dr. Drew.
Okay, it's not a crisis. Okay. All right, let's talk about Patrick Melrose. Allie, you have said that this is your favorite TV show of the year. How come?
It is just, first of all, without even getting into what the show is, Benedict Cumberbatch has never been better in a role. It is shot so beautifully. It's like you're watching an art movie every single episode. And that's without even delving into the fact that it is one of the most harrowing watches that I've ever watched in my life.
Because
it's about addiction. And then you realize after the first episode what is fueling his addiction, what he's trying to escape and get away from his mind. And it is devastating. And I couldn't wait to watch the next episode.
And I must tell you, when I wrote an article about
this. Oh, you've seen this show.
Yeah, oh my God. Okay. And I wrote an article about it. You can find it at my website at doctor.com. It's also up on like Huffington Post or something. And when they first asked me to write the article, I thought, oh, another series on addiction. I'm going to be critical. It's not going to be comfortable. And I started, and I was watching. The first episode is all about heroin addiction and heroin withdrawal. I'm like, yes, check, check. Yes, they got that right. And then by the end of the episode, I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
This is the best exploration of the phenomenon of struggling with heroin and suicide, everybody. Mm-hmm. And so it's very, very topical to what's going on in the press with celebrities these days. And then he does not properly treat his heroin addiction and begins drinking. And whenever people wonder what was going on with Anthony Bourdain, I say, please look at this study. Look at Patrick Melrose, because it is precisely what Anthony Bourdain is dealing with. And you get a sense of why it endangers their life so severely. It's not specifically necessarily the escalating alcohol, though that can be it. But it's the choices they make, the pathology in their thinking, what we call the stinking thinking, and all the terrible choices they make until they turn it around. And, man, I agree with you, Ali, that Cumberbatch has never been better.
Are they aware that they're making those decisions in the middle of it?
No, of course not. Yeah. That's why we call it stinking thinking. And then the reality is, this is what a lot of people have trouble getting their head around, is the reasoning and thinking serves the addiction. And it's part of the pathology is what you're thinking and what you think is a good idea, and your choice making is actually colored and influenced by the disease process, and then how you conduct yourself interpersonally, and all the people around you get sucked into that abnormality.
Right.
And man, this gets into it in great detail. And as Ali was saying, it's like an art house film, but please don't think it's that kind of a boring film. Mm-hmm. It is action packed and. It's weirdly, I just kept thinking about great literature. It was a book at first, and it's like I've never seen great literature brought to life so well and with such a gritty human story and so well acted. I was just unbelievable. And how about Jennifer Jason Leigh?
Oh, she plays his mother. She is phenomenal. There are parts of it that you are just, it's a hit in the gut, and you don't think it's going to be okay at all. And then there are just these glimpses of transformation and what can change. And it is, I'm going to start crying thinking about it. It is one of the most beautiful.
It's not possible.
It's
not possible.
It's one of the most beautiful shows I have ever been able to watch in my life.
It sounds like a bummer to me.
It's not.
That's why I asked.
It sounds heady and sounds like a bummer. Mm-mm. It's action-packed and fun at the same time. And funny, too, because people are funny.
He has lines in that I am dying laughing at.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I love taking care of addicts. They're so funny. They're just funny and so human and so interesting. And this I will just caution people, this goes deep into childhood trauma.
Yes.
And I don't want people to walk away with the sense, and I thought they did a pretty good job of this, that childhood trauma causes addiction per se, but it's the rocket fuel behind addiction.
Right.
Oh.
And when people are done treating their addiction, then they can deal with their childhood trauma, which is the underlying.
So it's possible for them to get
past sort of their childhood trauma if they actually
both.
Yeah, okay.
You have to treat both, and you can't treat the trauma till you treat the addiction alcoholism. Right. And sometimes people's trauma treatment happens magically in the course of the addiction treatment, but usually that's something that they deal with a year or two later.
Right.
So Benedict Cumberbatch has been wiping his butt wrong this whole time.
That's, oh, exactly. You got it. How did you know?
That's a great summary.
Now I got it. DrDrew.com is where you want to go. Dr. Drew Midday Live, of course, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 on 790K ABC. That's on the AM band, kids, where all the cool stuff is.
Yeah.
Look for all of his podcasts, and don't forget to download the Heal app on the App Store or Google Play as well. Thank you, Dr. Drew.
Right,
we
guys,
appreciate you.
You
so much. Bye-bye.
Yeah,
bye. Bye now.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 939.
I thought we had definitively decided that In-N-Out Burger was great. Isn't that what we came up with?
Of course.
Well, then why is Jim Jefferies on the phone saying otherwise?
Well, we haven't talked to him for at least 25 minutes.
Jim.
Hey.
What? You're not going to disagree with us on In-N-Out.
No, In-N-Out's the best thing that's ever happened in my life.
And thank
you. Anyone who says it's not is ridiculous. These dumb rednecks in Texas who think Whataburger is something can F off.
Right.
Also, Shake Shack. I don't care if it's a sit-down restaurant. The bun's too soggy. The lettuce is too wilted, right? You need a crisp lettuce, not like enough of these. You use iceberg lettuce on a bloody burger, right? If you want the fries to be better, you make them animal style.
Right. So you're 100% in and out with us.
I'm in my car driving to work after leaving there. I was left in a reasonable mood,
uh-huh.
And then you start talking about this guy. So Five Guys is okay.
Okay.
You've got to learn how to order. And so these morons that go in there and they don't know how to order, then they just go, and I'll just have meat and I'll have mushrooms. And go, this isn't very good. That's because you're an idiot. Right?
Okay. All right.
But In-N-Out is good regardless of how you do it.
Agreed.
You get a triple. Also, people who want thick patties are morons as well. You want a thin patty and then to double up so you can put cheese infused in between the meats. I'll tell you what. It's Brad Pitt's favorite burger. We've had this discussion before.
That's quite an endorsement.
So for Andy Kreiser, who wrote the piece for Thrillist, you have been overruled by Jim Jefferies. He says, no, sir. No, sir.
No. And it's ridiculous when you want to have this discussion with people because it's so clearly the best burger you can get. And it isn't just because it's cheap. It would be the best burger at $100. I don't like going to like Unami Burger where they give you a thick-ass slice of beef that they just slap on. And then their little trick is we cover it in butter. We keep dripping over truffle oil and all type of stuff. The best burgers are In-N-Out anywhere in the world.
Okay.
I love you, Jim Jefferies.
We are with you.
We take it. Thank you, Jim. Have a great one. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
He left here in a reasonably good mood, and then we pissed him off
Then he
driving.
Heard that.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Amen. Look, Dave is wrong.
That was ridiculous.
Dave's wrong about it.
Dave's always wrong.
It's wrong, man.
Look, you got to stand up for what's important. And that's what I respect about Jim Jefferies.
Correct.
He's willing to put his mouth where his money is. Is that how it goes?
No, but okay.
Tell me more about where Jim's putting his mouth. Also, Kevin, that's great. Wrong man. That's a
wrong man, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's good.
That's Dave.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Time for one more look at what's happening.
Dave is really upset because he got something from apnews.com and he's like, this is the end of news. Like, what's happening? How is this even something that I should even care about?
The end of news.
And I gotta say, I agree with Dave on this.
The end of news.
Here's the article from apnews.com. Julia Roberts is getting social. The Pretty Woman star has joined Instagram and made her first ever social media post. It's a photo post. It's a photo of her sitting in the grass wearing denim shorts and a black top that says, love. She captioned the photo, hello. That's it.
That's news.
That's news that Julia Roberts is now on Instagram.
Is the last person on Instagram?
Wow.
Yeah. I think I agree with wrong man and you.
I agree.
Wow.
So, yeah, just bringing that to you. Mm-hmm. And this is a bummer because I really like this show. Adam Scott and Craig Robinson.
Yes.
Oh,
Ghosted.
No.
Ghosted.
No.
I like Ghosted.
I like Ghosted, too. Here's
not
the
acceptable.
Thing. So
has
Fox.
Has it been ghosted?
Fox is, See? No, not even ghosted. They are just saying, you're done.
That's
so Fox
BS right there.
Has canceled it. Here's the weird part.
Okay.
The series has been yanked from the network's Sunday schedule effective immediately. Okay, A, that's rude. And then a Fox rep tells TV Line that it's to be determined whether the final three unaired episodes will ever see the light of day.
What could have happened?
What happened, Fox?
Wow.
That's weird.
I don't like it.
They are I know I'm good with analogies, but they're like burning down the whole farm there.
When they're trying to...
Well, I'm just saying, they're not just...
I'm just trying to figure out where this is going, the example.
They're not just respectfully locking the gate and driving away. They're setting fire to the place. At the farm, yeah. They're setting fire to the place and burning it to the ground. It's like they can't wait to get rid of that show.
I can only write so much.
Not only are we canceling it immediately, but we may not even air the three shows we've already paid for.
It's like they're burning down a farm.
And they're locking. Well, and but when they burn the farm, why are they locking the gates and driving away?
I don't
know. No, I'm saying
what
that's
do people
how they
need to get into.
No, no,
if
that's
it's
how they
down.
Would. No, they, I'm saying if they were treating the house like a house, they would just respectfully lock the gates.
But we're talking about a farm, not the house.
My point is, it was a bad analogy, I'm sad to see what's happening to a show with two great actors that we enjoy very much.
Agreed.
Almost. One more day.
Not quite yet. This really bums me out. And to say we don't even know if they'll ever see the light of day.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's really bizarre.
It sounds like something went down.
Yeah.
I don't know what it could be, but it seems like it's more than just a regular programming decision.
I think Fox looked at the show and they're like, this is really funny. Mm-hmm. Let's get rid of it.
Okay.
That's what they've been doing.
That's a possibility.
Hey, they did that with Brooklyn Nine-Nine,
one of the best comedies
of the 21st century. They figured out a way to not like that, right? Exactly.
It's very true. Did we talk at all about Robert Plant and Jimmy Page getting back together?
No, we didn't. Is that a thing?
I won't get into it. By the way, to everyone that is sending me Robert Plant video from Arroyo Seco, thank you. I love it. He's amazing. Talk to Bean. He's the one that hates the idea of them getting back together.
Bean hates Joy.
He hates Joy. It'll be the 50th anniversary of Led Zeppelin. What better time to get back together, play Glastonbury, make everyone happy? And Bean is like, no, I don't want that to happen because I hate everything that's good.
Yeah. First of all, Led Zeppelin is one of my probably three or four favorite bands of all time. I adore them. But I don't want to force Robert Plant to do something he
doesn't want to
do.
Nobody wants to force him, but you can hope he wants to. Right.
But he doesn't want to. And he's made it so clear. And I just feel so bad. That band broke up in 1980. And he hasn't had a day since then when some jackhole hasn't bugged him about trying to get the band back together.
Well, maybe. Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way. Mm-hmm. I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
And the guy has gone on to have a very successful solo career. He's had like 12 albums since Led Zeppelin. Right. He's doing his own thing.
Right, but you don't have to be angry on his behalf. He'll say no if he wants.
Maybe, Robert Plant, don't be in one of the most iconic bands of all time if you don't want us to miss you. Right? F you, Robert Plant. Now I'm mad.
That's what we're saying.
I came right back around. Bean, I'll let you have the last word on the Zeppelin reunion. Go ahead.
I just spent a half hour filibustering on it.
Go ahead.
I'm not filibustering. I'm just saying it's his choice. I respect his artistic choice to not do it. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Not sure if Craig Robinson and Adam Scott found out about the cancellation on Twitter, but Famous in Love, that's a show on Freeform. It was axed, but apparently they didn't tell the star of the show, Bella Thorne, who ranted on Twitter that the news was very hurtful, Freeform. I would have liked a phone call, maybe.
That seems to be happening a lot.
But then you read all about that show and her behavior on the set.
Oh.
And I feel like if they really didn't call her or her agents or someone, this was a big old
F you as
we walk away.
All right.
But yeah, you shouldn't find out that you're fired on Twitter.
No, seems bad.
Seems bad. Let's talk about some birthdays. The most wonderful man to ever walk the face of the earth, Mel Brooks. Happy birthday, sir. John Cusack, Kathy Bates, Felicia Day, Elon Musk, and a guy who, I mean, I've always pronounced it Dyrdek, Rob Dyrdek.
Because that's his name.
Because that's how you say it.
Right.
But if you're Kevin...
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Dyrdek is part of Robin Big. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Dyrdek. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Dyrdek is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
So we spent a half hour with him, and I said that probably 10 more times. Mm-hmm. And then later in the show, you guys pointed out and put that together. And so we called him, and we said, dude,
Well, I have the I have that follow up. Listen to this. This is Mike Catherwood talking to Rob.
Hey, remember when my boss called you Rob Durden for about 3 hours straight?
Love that. I love that so much. I love it so much. I love the fact that I just didn't say anything, and then it just kept riding and riding. Like, I just love it.
You made the whole thing gold. It could have been just like one little slip up, but you made it a legendary moment.
I just love. I'm glad that I have that opportunity to share that with those guys because it is funny.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
He is.
Yeah. How would you say it then now?
I'm not good at this.
Just try it.
Rob Dyrdek.
Nailed
of course
it.
That's how you say it.
Nailed it.
And I'm a huge fan, too, so mm-hmm. I don't have any idea what got stuck in my head. But
you see what you're doing.
It's
Thank
all right.
You. Thank you, Chip.
And that's what's happening.
All right. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda Dealers. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, Omar takes a look at Jersey Shore. We got a special B-team recap of a moment with us in Ad Rock.
I can't wait.
It was one of the all-time great interviews.
It was my favorite.
Muggs is on the red carpet of Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh.
We have a special musical guest, and comedian Bob Saget will join us as well, along with Keep It 100 tomorrow.